Blog Talk Radio.
You were in
was a boy told to write. What do you expect me to say? Take my hand and you say you change, but boy, you know you're begging, don't fool me, because to you, it's just a game. So let me all down, your time has made me strong, I'm starting to move on, I'm gonna say this now.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, Do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Hey, you're listening to HOR Radio, House of Restoration Ministry. I want to say peace and greetings and blessings to all. We have a very, 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 very informative show lined up for you. This is your host, yours truly, Brother Sharif. Sister Layla, co-host, is here today and will moderate. Sister Layla, are you there? You want to unmute your phone, possibly? I cannot hear you, Sister Layla.
Yes, I am here.
There you go. All right, well, so I'm going to let you take over from here. And we're going to get into the call.
Awesome. Peace and blessings, everyone. Peace and many, many blessings. Welcome, family. Welcome, everyone. This is Sister Layla. This is House of Restoration Ministry, also known as HOR. Today is Tuesday, April the 29th, 2014. We definitely, definitely have a very jam-packed show for you today, and we are just growing by leaps and bounds with knowledge and wisdom and power to be able to take hold of our lives, take everything back, right? So here's the format for today, everyone. At the top of the hour, backed by a most popular demand, we have our illustrious priest Elishua, who happens to be the other half of our very own Brother Sharif. Priest Elishua will be talking to us today about spirituality, about debt and fear, and how it affects our body. That's really, really important, guys. We always talk about how spirituality, I mean, that sense of peace of mind, you know, it's much needed. We have to gain control. We have to come from a higher realm and gain control. We have to let go of the anger, retaliatory means, improper conduct, emotional distresses or distressors. We need a spiritual foundation. So definitely want to be ready to hear what our priest Alicia has to say to us today. After that, we're going to have our very own Brother Sharif from House of Restoration Ministry, also known as HOR, will be speaking to us on a variety of topics. You know, the Homeowners Association, also known as HOAs. Do you live in a homeowners association, an area that has a homeowners association? If so, you definitely want to hear what he has to say. Are they debt collectors? Because I know they are. They're acting as such. Brother Sharif will also be talking to us about several cases with regard to the FDCPA and the FCRA. So you definitely want to be available for that. Brother Sharif teaches us how, you know, to be powerful consumers, you know, through this powerful education that we're receiving. You know, we are the people. We the people are always in control, and we have the power. We're starting to see things around the world. The people are standing up. We are the people, and we have the power. And that's what this ministry is all about, bringing us together, united in one bond to stand up and take control. Anytime that we have a question of the people that we've engaged with, they must answer us fully the request that we make, not partially, but in full. We have a guest speaker. Our guest speaker will be on at 1 o'clock. We are going to be hearing from Mr. Mac McCall. He will be talking to us about court procedures, protocols, rule of law. So I can't wait to hear what, you know, Mr. Mac McCall has to say about that. That's going to be very exciting. The last segment of our call will be your questions. You have the ability on that open line to be able to, you know, we'll be able to hear from you you'll be able to get your questions answered. So be ready with your pens and pencils, your notebooks, your paper to ingest this powerful knowledge. So that is our format for today. And I just wanted to take a moment as we, you know, before we get started and bring our Brother Sharif back on the line on this program. Family, just, you know, as I previously mentioned to you, I've been on an adventurous journey pretty much all my life. My life has been just an amazing journey. I've had ups and downs, good, bad, and evil, you know, experiences, but none. You know, none of this, you know, is really, it's all worthy because I'm basically still here. I'm here to tell the story, basically, and I'm just so grateful for that. My pathway has led me to Brother Sharif and House of Ministry. For those of you who don't know me, I've been in the mortgage industry for over 20 years, 25 years. I lost count. But I have had a wonderful journey in that experience. I've learned a lot of things. I've worked in almost every area on the mortgage side of the business, the way that the mortgage industry trains everyone. I have had a situation that affected me, that has affected a lot of people around this this country, whereby financially things just broke. And I found myself needing some assistance from my supposed mortgage lender, and I called them. It's like a lot of you have done and said, you know, I need some help. Can you help me? And they told me that I need to be in, you know, in default. And that was not something that I was looking to do. Well, eventually it happened. And I've been on this journey since 2008. And I will tell you guys that we're still in that home, 2008. And I'm in the state of Texas, which is a non-judicial state. So for those of you who have to go through the court system to go through this process, you have it a lot easier. You know, my family's from New York. My family has helped families in the bankruptcy mode in that area, and they've helped people stay in their homes for years through the court system. But to be able to do that in a non-judicial state is very, very, it's not as easy as one would think. So I just wanted to make mention of that. But I wanted to share with you guys, last week, a couple of things occurred. One, I visited a session, and I think this will tie into the program. It's just amazing how everything is just aligning itself. I visited a session. It was a seminar concerning, it's called MAM meditation. MAM is a Korean term, which means mind, soul, and spirit. And I just wanted to share with you just a couple of passages from their pamphlet and then just tell you what they say that it is. It says, in the world, there is the true world and false world. If you see from the perspective of the true world, you can know all of the principles of the world as well as where man goes when he dies. Since man is completely dead, trapped in his own mind world, which is a false world, he knows nothing. All religious scriptures are seen and spoken from the true world. Mao meditation teaches the method of destroying the false world, being reborn into the true world, and living eternally in the true world. The one who is born in the true world, which is human completion, while living, will live forever. The one who dies in the false world just dies, and that's it. So basically, here's what they say. Mao meditation transcends the boundaries of all religions. Mao meditation will elevate the human mind to the highest level of existence, the level of divinity. That is where peace is, the element that is meant to control the universe. Once we achieve a permanent peace, we can give it to others. You know, that peace that transcends all understanding. That's what we're taught, and that's what we're talking about. And I know that our illustrious priest, Elishua, is going to talk about this, and I can't wait. And I know you guys can't wait. So I just thought that was apropos with what we're talking about. So that's one experience that I had in this last week. Secondly, I received a notice of a trustee sale on my property. And in Texas, all trustee sales happen on the first week or the first Tuesday of the month. So that will be actually a week from today. So my first thought, you know, and I know that Priest Alicia was going to talk about this, you know, first thought was, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they're doing this. You know how we get to that point where we say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. But then, you know, that peace just came over me, and it just said, you know, Layla, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. You've been going down this pathway all this time. You've been guided this way all this time. There's nothing for you to worry about. Okay, so I laid the paper down. You know, we had to sign for it and had to lay it down and just leave it there because I wasn't ready and willing to read it. I wasn't ready to ingest it. You know, but we got it that day, and so I just laid it down when I was at a mental state where I could just rise above it and not be caught in the emotion of it to say, okay, let me look at this objectively. All right? So that's what I did. And I shared with Brother Sharif. I said to him, my words were, guess what? I got a present today. You know, and that's how I looked. I had transcended my mind, and I said, no, I got a present today. I pulled the assignments, you know, on my on this particular situation. I went down to the recorder's office, and it was just very interesting to see that a lot of these assignments were just executed 2013. We're in 2014. I took out this loan in 2002. And by the way, the notice that I received, it wasn't signed. And even when I went down to the recorder's office, family, it hadn't even been recorded in the recorder's office. So there's a lot of impropriety that is going on. And there, you know, they are doing, and I say they, I'm talking about this industry is doing a lot of things. And for those of you who don't, you know, if you have a background in this, you understand that the bankers are pretty much ruling the country. And I just want to just bring forth what my mindset was when I embarked upon this pathway. You know, it was a matter of principality because I felt like I did everything right. And as things progressed, because I said this was like in 2008, all of this media attention was coming out about how these bankers have done these things, robo-signing and the assignments, you know, just all of this mess. And then when it was decided that they were going to give the bankers, after they've done all of this evilness, $700 billion, I mean, that didn't set well with me, guys. It just didn't set well with me. And I don't know how it set well with you. And I'm like, this is just totally wrong from a standpoint of principality. So I decided, and that was a decision that I made, to create my own stimulus package. That is what I decided. And that's what kept me down this pathway on the standpoint of principality. So I just say to you guys, don't fear. That's what we're going to hear from our priest, Alicia. But don't fear. Stand up. Be strong. We've come together, bring locking arms together to move forward. I don't have fear in the situation that's occurring with me right now. I haven't had fear. It's come up before, and it's going to be fine. So I say these words of encouragement to you. Just be happy. Stay happy. Stay in that peace. That peace. You have to get to that point of peace, and everything will work itself out for you guys. With that being said, I'm going to bring our beautiful brother, Brother Sharif, to the line. He's going to guide us in prayer. I just wanted to just send a beautiful peace and blessings to the mother and to the father, Sister Unique, and Sister L. I just want to send peace and blessings to you. And Brother Sharif, we just welcome you and want to hear your wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom.
Peace, peace, peace. Thank you. Thank you again, Sister Layla. She does always a fantastic job at bringing you her personal experience intertwined with the issues that we deal with in this ministry, on this call, and in this group. So as y'all know, we have a group prayer that we conduct every Tuesday. Before I yield the floor to the priest, we ask that everybody join in this prayer. It is a prayer that is not germane or specific to any religion. We just give our praises and honors to the Creator. And whatever mode of prayer that you utilize, whoever you pray to, whoever you believe in, we just ask that you join in and give honors to the Almighty. Father, the Most High, the Creator, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present, we gather here today as a community for the purpose of common unity. Father, you have blessed this House of Restoration Ministry with people and members from all walks of life, from all races, political affiliations, from each and every state, even abroad, this great country. And for this, we give thanks to you. Father, we come to you without regard of religious belief, race, ethnicity, economic status. Father, we are fully aware that only the unloved hate based on these issues, that they are the promoters of hate amongst your people. We know that your people represent love. Father, it's written in the Bible in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is within man. Not one man, not a group of men, but in all men and women. Father, just make us understand that we the people have the power, the authority, and the ability to change and make change to and in our lives. We the people are responsible for our lives, for our happiness, our enjoyment. We are also responsible for our failure, our mistakes, our lack of knowledge and education. But God, we have the ability to make our lives a fruitful one, a happy one, and a prosperous one. This HRR ministry group's primary goal is to empower the people through education, through economic uplifting, through strengthening of the body, health, mind, and spirit, which we have to understand is that it is the temple we dwell in. Our goal is to teach the people the laws of the land, the laws of nature, and the laws of commerce. Lastly, Father, we ask that this ministry, if we do nothing else, that we contribute to the restoration of family, the restoration of an educated, powerful consumer. We pray that all of your people on this show increase their vibrations, their frequencies, and their consciousness. We know the benevolence of the universe is always working in our favor, and that the angels are guiding us daily, and we pray for continued support in our endeavors. Amen. All right. Peace and blessings. I'm going to yield the floor. I don't even need to start. I want to give honors to the Yama and the Yafa that's in the house. We'll get to them after the priest does his monologue. I'm going to yield the floor to the priest. I'm going to bring him in. Peace and blessings. Brother Elishua, the Honorable. How are you today, brother?
Doing very good, very good. Praise Yahweh. Blessings to all of the great listeners that's listening on the show today to raise up their frequency and their vibration within themselves and to be able to spread that positive love and frequency and vibration to all humanity on this planet this day. I give all honors to my Father. I give all honors to the Son. I give all honors to the Holy Spirit and the 301. I give honors to the mother and father that's on the show. I bless and every last one on this line today. I pray for every family to gain the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we're going to deliver them today and to incorporate it into their lives so they'll be able to use it at will. I'm going to continue to pray that everyone be able to stand upright in their heart, mind, and soul and to be able to understand and then overstand this message of this great day. Today is a great day. And the reason why it's a great day, because you can hear today, you can see today, you can smell, taste, walk, talk. You have all of your activities and your limbs. You are truly blessed this day if you are able to be able to hear this message and to be able to see your family and friends again. You are truly blessed because you are still above the dirt of this earth. So I will be getting into talking about how to strengthen every chakra in your system, and that how every time someone sends you something, it will affect the body chemically, and it has a great effect on your mind when you do not know how to handle it. Just as our great host was saying that when she got her letter, that she couldn't deal with it right then and there. And this is what happens when they send you these documents, you know, we're in such of a turmoil that we do not study words, because words are a frequency, words are a vibration, words will chemically will cause a reaction in your system that shut down your system. As Brother Sharif and myself, we always have great conversations throughout the week. We empower each other as we go along this journey, because we are journeying in the wilderness right now. So when you are going into studying these different documents or anything someone sends you or any type of conversation you're having with people, you want to always stay in your top chakra they call it the crown chakra, or in the Bible it's called the seven candlesticks, and you need to always stay in the top of your mind into heaven. You must do what Moses did. You must walk from the valley into the mountaintop and take your shoes off, because you are walking on holy ground. Anywhere you place your physical feet is holy ground, because the scripture says this, that you must keep all your conversation holy. So anytime you walk and tread your feet anywhere on this planet, you are on holy ground, whether you know it or not. And I'm not talking physically taking your shoes off. I'm talking about your mind. It's all about the mind. If you think it's not about the mind, go and read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It was always talking about a person's personality, their character, and how they was behaving. So how do you behave? Your behavior comes from the way you're thinking. So it is always about your thinking. So, Brother Sharif, I'll be discussing how these different documents affect people and how it affects the chakra. And one of the things me and Brother Sharif was discussing was that we were discussing about the third chakra. You have seven on the body, or seven wheels, or seven energy centers, whatever you would like to call it. But each wheel, or each center, or each foundation, you must develop it. And to develop this first center, or the first chakra, is called the root chakra, or the base chakra, or the foundation. You must have a strong foundation in the Word. You must have a strong foundation in your Father's divine mind. And if you don't think so, if you will just go back to Genesis chapter 3, in the third chapter, when the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, he was able to shake the foundation of Adam and Eve. He was able to twist their mind and turn their mind around. He was able to bring doubt, fear, disbelief in their mind after they was commanded to only eat from the tree of life. And if they continue to eat from the tree of life, they would live. But when he was able to talk to them, he was talking to them. He wasn't smoking marijuana, doing cocaine. He wasn't doing drugs. He was talking to them. So that goes to show you that words are more powerful than any drug that you can put inside of your body. He was able to talk to them, and he was able to change their mind. He was able to bring doubt, fear, and disbelief in their mind. He was able to tell them that he was able to speak great words against the Most High. And when you speak great words against the Most High, trust me, family, in the scriptures, there is a scripture that said Satan spoke swelling words. So that is why a lot of us have swelling body parts, because we allow someone to give us these swelling words, which creates a chemical reaction inside of your blood, which create you to swell up. And we all know it raises the blood pressure. When you start to argue, when you start to debate, when you start to become negative, you swell up. Your body becomes tense. Okay? So it goes to show you again, family, words are the most powerful thing on this planet. Whatever word you use, it will cause that reaction on your body. If you use negative words, the universe will copy your words, copy your information. It will manifest it from your third chakra. Okay? And it will manifest whether it's negative or positive. And again, as the hostess says, that when she first put the paperwork down, and she was able to say, I'm not ready for this right now, and she had to come back to it later. Sometimes, family, we must do that. We have to do that. Take a breath. Breathe. This is what Yahweh said. He blew the breath of life in you. Learn how to stop and just breathe. Take your 10, 15 minutes and breathe, meditate. Relax the heart, mind, body, soul. Bring your body back to a parasympathetic state of thinking. And this is what I learned in massage therapy school. This is what I learned when I was doing Qigong, which is internal breathing. You learn how to relax the body and clear the mind so you'll be able to deal with whatever has come across your path. The first chakra, as I was speaking about, when Adam and Eve lost their foundation and lost their base, they lost the connection that they had with God Almighty. They had to cover their first chakra, the base. They had to cover it themselves with fig leaves, and which was sewed in the apron. So they had to cover their nakedness. They didn't understand evilness. They only understood good at that time. So when Satan came to them and was able to talk with them, have a conversation with them, converse with them, he taught them evil. That's why the scriptures goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and it says that they would know, they would become as gods, knowing good and evil. See, they didn't know anything about evil. If you go back and read the second chapter of Genesis, Yahweh, God of all creation, taught them only good, and he only taught them life. He didn't never teach them death. They died in the garden spiritually when they began to listen to the voice of the serpent. And this is what they're giving you today. They're giving you the language of the serpent in these documents, in these contracts, breathing fear into you, which causes your kidneys to shut down, okay? And fear, the fear will affect your kidneys. This is why people, when you breathe so much fear in them, they'll either urinate on themselves or they'll do the number two on themselves if you put that much fear into someone. And we done seen it many times. People in court done mess on themselves because they're in court because of the fear. They're utilizing the power of information that you do not understand. And this is why you must have a spiritual foundation. When you get into your third chakra family, that is the subconscious mind that deals with your worrying, which causes you to have ulcers in your stomach, which causes you to have tightness in your stomach. And then, you know, when you worry, you can't eat, you know. So therefore, I gave you some words or I gave you a document, and it causes you not to eat. It causes you to worry. It causes to wear out your spleen. Guess what, family? The spleen deals with the what? Immune system. So now your immune system has been affected. Once your immune system has been affected, guess what? You begin to get sick. And it all came from words. And this is why you must have a spiritual foundation. This is why I get on every week with Brother Sharif, educate you on metaphysical science, understanding the Bible to the T, and not understanding it on a religious pace of view. Religion means to bind you to theological information that keeps you tied inside of a system that will not help you climb Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder, family, is your spinal cord. Your spinal cord deals with your neurotransmitters, deals with your nervous system, and it goes up and down. That's why it speaks about the angels who are ascending and descending. That means the information is going up and down your spinal cord, sending out information and communication to your system. What happened when Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they got nervous, didn't they? And they hit themselves. So it affected their nervous system. They hit themselves because of what they did not know. They wasn't supposed to be doing the things that they wasn't supposed to be doing, and it causes them to nervous. They never knew anything about being nervous. They never knew anything about doubt. They never knew anything about fear, disbelief, until they listened and hearkened to the voice of the serpent. So when you reading these documents, family, these documents is dealing with your whole internal being, your whole system. And when you are looking at these different words, it will go down into the subconscious mind, your third chakra, and cause you to worry. It causes you to stress. What does stress do to your system? Shut it down. Gives you a stroke sometimes. Have you a nervous breakdown because of the stress, because of what you have read, because you are naked in the mind. You are bald-headed, as the scriptures say. You're bald-headed. You have no knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of what's going on inside of commerce, inside of commercial business. You know why? Because you forgot to do three things. As I said many times on the show, Sharif has said it many times, you must meditate on the laws day and night, and then thou shalt prosper and have good success. And this is what Sharif is teaching you, how to prosper when someone violates your living rights. And you will have success in that courtroom if you will listen to Sharif and this great message that he's delivering to you this day. See, the scriptures is there. Then you did not apply 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You were supposed to study to show thyself approved. You don't need some guru or someone else telling you. The scripture says, show thyself approved unto God. Be a workman. Yes, you must work, man. Yes, you do. And therefore thou shalt have you should be able to divide the word of truth. That means you need to divide those documents. You need to pull the truth out of those documents and be able to display and present those documents into a court if you have to. and the final scripture that I have told the people a thousand times, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed are those who read it. The Creator said you are blessed when you read. So there you go. You need to meditate, study, and read. And this is what we are not doing when we get these documents. As soon as we get something and it's not and it's negative, we don't read it, we don't study it, we don't meditate on it, we don't investigate. I mean, we need to apply these things, because when you're opening up your chakras, when you're opening up your energy centers, you have to study, you have to read, you have to meditate. And when you do that, you're able to demonstrate your power. You're able to use the five stones that David did inside of a book when he went against the Philistines. Because, family, I'm going to let you know that this document you're getting today is a document of the minds of the Philistines. It has nothing to do with race, creed, or color. It has nothing to do with your status. It has nothing to do with your nationality. It has nothing to do with your religion. The Bible and everything that you're going through has all, it is all about your mind. Trust me. And when you get your mind in order, you'll get everything else in your household in order. The first house you must get in order is your mind, your brain. And then you'll be able to get your physical home in order. You notice you get to some people's house, their house is so cluttered, things all over the place. That's because they have a cluttered mind. Because if you didn't, if your house looked like that, that's the way your mind looked. Because your house can't clean itself up. You have to first clean your mind up. And then you'll clear your mind and say, oh, I'm going to need to clean this house up. You know, I've been to some people's house, they got dirty clothes all the place, bodies piled up, dishes up to the sink, up to the ceiling, you know. So that is because that's the type of mind that they have. And this is who you're dealing with today. You're dealing with people who are trying to cloud up your mind, who is trying to clutter up your mind, who's trying to make bog you down with so many different problems and bills and things because you won't study. You won't apply yourself. You won't meditate. You won't read. You won't investigate. You won't research. You know, get into them law libraries and research, you know, these different procedures. Research if they can. Like the hostess said, she went down there and it wasn't a signature on these documents. It was a file. I mean, this, she's down there researching. She's down there doing due diligence. She's down there applying herself to herself. And this is what it's about. The Bible is always telling you to apply yourself to yourself. You know, in order for you to have a relationship with the Creator, it is all about you and Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself, yourself. And then in the middle of the word self, family, is E-L and L is God. So you must apply yourself to God at all time. Okay? You must drop the S. The S is superficial. And you must pick up the E-L and drop the falsehood. And then you'll be able to pick up God. They hid all of the secret inside of every word. I study words all day long. I study the etymology of words and where they come from. That's why when somebody sends me something, they can't send me nothing, because I will read your stuff. I will research your stuff down to the T. I will dissect it. I will pull it apart like a doctor, because I am a spiritual doctor. I am a spiritual physician. I will dissect you and cure whatever disease you're trying to give me, whatever type of virus you're trying to enter to my supercomputer, my mind. I will not allow you. I have a virus protector, and my virus protector is the divine mind of the Creator of heaven and earth. That is my divine protection. That's why he said, trust in the Lord, and he's your salvation. He's your redemption. So you must redeem yourself from those who are trying to create a virus in you. I have told many of people, the serpent gave us many spiritual diseases. You know, we look at everything on the physical, carnal level. Everything is spiritual. Even the Bible tells you, seek the Father in spirit, not carnal, not physical. You can't see him carnally. You can only see him spiritually. Then you'll be able to handle the carnal world, the tangible world, because everything starts intangible. So when you're reading over your documents and these negative words, these words that create a chemical reaction inside of your system, you need to study those words, and all you have to do is counter them with positive words. This is why Moses was able to go into the courts of Pharaoh and cast his rod down, because this is what God asked him. He said, what is in thy hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it to the ground. When he cast it to the ground, family, it turned into a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Why did he flee? Because he didn't have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to handle those serpent. So Yahweh said, go back, and I'm going to show you how to handle the serpent. This is how you handle your paperwork, family. You must grab it by the tail. And this is what Moses did to the serpent. He was able to grab the serpent by the tail. If you grab anything by the tail, you can control it. You don't see people grab a dog or a cat or some animal by the tail, and that animal can't do nothing. You have total control of that particular species by grabbing it by the tail. You grab a spider by its butt, it can't do anything. Just think about it, nature, family. And you apply that same principle to what is going on with your situation today. That's why I don't get upset with people. I don't argue. I was able to go into my trial, into the court, and I was controlling them because I had them by the tail. And this is the same story when you read about Jacob and Esau. Esau had Jacob by the heel. And when you study the word heel, family, it will tell you, you hear your grandmother or your grandfather say, he'll heal you. You know, so it will let you know what type of attributes, what type of character, your personality you had. And this is what it's all about, being able to understand the attributes of these people, to understand their mindset and what they're trying to do to you in commerce and business. Do not fear anything. If you go back into the book of Proverbs, it's supposed to be read on a daily basis. It's 31 chapters. It's a chapter every day for 31 days. If you apply that to your life every month, every day, family, it will open up a lot of things. You will stop a lot of different types of mindsets, because the book of Proverbs is dealing with the mindsets, okay? So you have to understand, when you go into the book of Proverbs, it basically tells you fear is the beginning of what? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The Creator told you, don't fear is not what you think it is. Fear is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He just told you how to destroy fear by having wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. When you seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you can stop fear. You won't fear when somebody sends you some documents. You'll be like, okay, let me read what you got here. And then you'll be able to cast your rod down and correct that matter with your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of that particular subject matter. So as you continue to understand these chakras, you know, you have the fourth chakra that's dealing with your heart chakra, family. And don't take things to heart. Control your heart. This is why a lot of people have breast cancer, because they store everything inside of their bosom, inside of their heart. You can get rid of breast cancer, family, by releasing the hate that you've stored inside your heart from what people have done to you. You must forgive people. That's why the scripture says, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. So since these debt collectors are trying to give you their debt, they have bought your debt for pennies on a dollar, Sharifa told you, forgive them, family, for they know not what they're doing to you. Because Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, Satan deceived the whole world. So don't be angry with these people. Don't be upset with these people. Don't be going to court cussing people out. Don't be getting mad at the judge and the attorney. You must correct your mind, body, and soul, and yourself in commerce. And when you do, you won't be angry at anybody. You'll be like, oh, they don't know what they're doing, but I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to stop you from doing this to me. I know how to. As you continue to understand the different chakras and how to release and how to make them all spin in the same direction, then you'll be able to handle yourself accordingly. Because it's seven. Seven in numerology is perfection. You'll become perfect. And the scripture says, be ye thou perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. Where is heaven? Heaven is your mind. And I can prove to you on another class that I can demonstrate to you, heaven is not somewhere you're going to fly off and gain some wings and fly off into la-la land somewhere. Heaven is your mind. And I can prove it in any language in the world I speak for. Heaven is the mindset. It is a way that you think, and hell is in the mind. You right here on hell. If you would read Matthew's in the 11th chapter, when heaven was taken by violent force in the days of John the Baptist, where did John the Baptist live? On planet Earth. So again, when you begin to understand where you at and how to utilize that Bible, how to utilize your metaphysical science, how to use your spirituality, you will begin to handle people of all walks of life. It won't matter what they say to you. When people come to me with their negativity, I already know you're negative, so I must understand how to master myself, because You need to know how to control your mind. You can't control someone else's mind, but you can control your mind. This is what the Creator has designed you to do, to control yourself. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. Approve yourself. Study yourself. Get yourself together. And work your way to your fifth chakra, which is your voice chakra, being able to speak humbly, righteously, ethically, morally. Being able to speak with such a tone to where you can, when you're releasing that vibration to them, those words to them, you're beginning to line up their chakras, because your chakras is lined up. Your energy centers are lined up. See, because each one of us is nothing but, we're nothing but a mirror to each other. So if you give out negative, negative come to you. I dare you to go out and be negative and watch the negative reaction that people give back to you. And then go out the next day and be positive. Be loving. Be ethical, moral, righteous, pious. Be benevolent. I guarantee you that's what you'll get back, because we're nothing but a vibration and frequency to each other. That's why you have two poles inside the body. And you guess where you get this bipolar crap from? Nobody's bipolar. You need to bring balance to your mind. That's all. Stop being so negative and learn how to be positive. Learn how to neutralize the negative with positive. And this is what you're doing to these paperwork. You're going to learn how to neutralize this paperwork with words of power, with words of positivity. When Brother Sharif demonstrates this to you, I'm here to get that mind right. I'm going to be able to tap into your mind so you'll be able to handle anything, all types of mindsets. It won't even matter. And when you get to that sixth chakra, family, you're dealing with the third. They call it the third eye, or they call it a pineal gland. Speaks about it in the book of Exodus, speaks about it in the book of Genesis. It's just hidden under words. But the pineal gland is inside the book of Genesis in the 35th chapter when Jacob was wrestling with a certain man. Okay, when you get to that scripture, I'm not going to give you everything. I want you to go study and read, because I can give you the scripture and everything and break it all down to you. But I would like for you to study. I would like for you to read. I would like for you to meditate. And then you will come out with a great outcome for yourself. And when you tap into that pineal gland, and this is why you see bald spots of people here, because they're worrying their pineal gland out. They don't have the answer, the solution. So you stressed out that spot in the back of your head, which that makes you have a bald spot, family. You're worried about money, bills, family. You're worried about things that you should have control of by applying the scriptures, applying spirituality to your life. And when you get to the seventh chakra, family, that's when you see these saints and they have that halo over the head. That was the crown chakra. That means that they was vibrating off all seven energy centers. They were all lined up and they were walking upright. And when you get to that level, family, you'll be able to handle anybody. And this is why Jericho, the walls of Jericho was brought down by Joshua, because he understood the seven chakras. He understood the power of the seven. So he had to walk around seven times to bring down the walls. So you must tear down all of these negative walls that you have around your mind. Bring those walls down by walking around seven times. You shall blow the trumpet. And the trumpet, you know, all the priests blow the trumpet. And the power of the trumpet is you're giving signal. You're giving an alarm. You're waking people up to the fact that they are not doing what they're supposed to do within themselves. So, family, it has been a great pleasure this morning talking with you, you know, because I have just a little time, and I'm going to yield the floor back to Brother Sharif so I can be able to, if there's any questions out there, I would love to answer your questions and give you the answer that you need. I'll yield the floor back to you, Brother Sharif.
Man, I can't even talk. You boy, priest, I'm telling you, man. Everybody in the, listen, I usually have an active chat room. Do you understand? I have 30 people in the chat or more. And usually they're engaged in conversations that's germane to the show, or, you know, they engage in some chat. They all were quiet. And they're usually quiet when the priest is on, because the information that you give is just as important, if not more important, than the information that I give. It goes in tandem. It complements each other. Even if you're not dealing with a debt crisis, you have to have what you just delivered, brother, in your life. It has to be a part of your fabric and your fiber. And I'm going to shut up, and you can just keep going. That's what I'm going to do. I'm muting myself back out. You back on. Go ahead. We're going to go another 15 minutes. If you want to call in and ask the priest a question quickly, 424-222-5250. Press star 1. 424-222-5250. Press star 1. But, priest, just go ahead for another 5 or 10 minutes, man. I need some rejuvenation. Look, go ahead, man. Restore us, brother. Okay. Restore us. I'm muting out.
Okay. And, well, like I said, as you begin to understand every history inside of the Bible has, it was always about the way we were treating each other and how these different mindsets was encountered with one another. And the whole thing that you're through today is inside of the book of Exodus. I guarantee you that. I would love to just do a show just on the book of Exodus alone to show you that you are in that same story. A lot of people think that the children of Israel was in physical slavery. No, they was in commerce slavery. And I can show you the secret words, how they hid in a bunch of the different words inside of the book of Exodus. I'll show you step by step that Moses was challenging the tax collectors, the debt collectors, right there in the book of Exodus. And I can show you how you look up different words, it'll take you to wages, it'll take you to taxes, it'll take you to debt. All of that information is right there in the book of Exodus. They was in commerce. They was in business, just like you are today. You are in Exodus right now as I'm speaking to you. And when you understand the book of Exodus, then you'll understand how to get yourself out of what you're jammed yourself in, because you're not a victim to anything. So get out of that victim stuff. You're not a victim. You was not conscious and aware of what they were doing. You didn't read none of those contracts. You didn't study. You didn't investigate. You just signed and dated and got the product and took off. And you were gone. So this is what's happening with us. We're not doing what the Creator told us. He told us in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 32 and 33, do not establish a covenant with them or with their gods. So therefore, covenant by definition, family, means contract. So when you assign these contracts with these different individuals, these different gods that they call corporations, businesses today, you establish a contract with them. You waived your rights. You became Lazarus. So now, old Lazarus, you must come from the grave. You must come from a dead level to a living level again. Coming from the grave means to coming from being deaf. You are dead. And this is what happened with Adam and Eve. They died when they did not obey the voice of the Creator of heaven and earth. They died right there in the garden, right there in their mind. You looking at a physical garden. It has nothing to do with a physical garden. They died inside of their mind. See, you have to learn how to cultivate your garden. You must learn how to grow your mind and cover your mind, because that was the first commandment inside the Bible. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, family, it says dress and keep the garden. Dress your mind up with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Dress your mind up and fortify your mind with the divine mind of Yahweh, and I guarantee you and keep the family, and you'll be able to keep your house, your car, you'll be able to keep your money in your pocket when you dress your mind up with these laws that Brother Sharif is demonstrating. You'll be able to keep your money. You'll be able to keep your property. You won't nobody. Your property will be very unattractive to people when you learn that law, learn how to navigate yourself in these courtrooms. You ain't got to be afraid to go in there and navigate. Navigation means to learn how to guide your ship. Learn the different course. You have a compass. Use that compass and guide yourself properly. Set yourself on core. You know, stop being off track. Stop being lost at sea. You're all over the place, lost in your mind. Has nothing to do with a physical thing. I always speak spiritual. I take everything tangible and turn it intangible. It's all spiritual to me. Everything I touch, when I step out in the streets, I don't care where I'm going, I don't care what I'm doing, it's spiritual to me. When somebody's looking at me negative or talking to me negative, I know that's just a frequency that they're releasing, because I don't release a negative frequency when I go into the world. I go out happy every day I go out. But when you run into people who just looking at you crazy, you know, that's just their frequency. That's their vibration, and you learn how to deal with it. You just understand that they're not matured in their mind, heart, and soul. I don't care if it's family, friends, or people you don't know. Understand who you are. You stay focused. You stay straight. You stay a daughter and a son of the mighty God. Don't you let nobody throw you off the path. stay on the path. And when you stay on the path, your path is to be what? Straight and narrow. Do not go wide and broad, because wide and broad is the way of death and to hell. It told you that in the scripture. Keep your mind straight. Stay straight in all things that you do, and narrow. Use very little words. And I guarantee you, you'll get to heaven spiritually. Okay? When you have your mind all over the place, you will be in hell. And this is why the hostess told you, she took the paperwork, she got something, she sat it down. She kept her mind straight and narrow. She didn't start scattering her thoughts off. Oh, they come after me. Oh, wait a minute, they're losing my house. No, she put it down. She meditated. Then she picked it back up and was able to demonstrate what she learned over the years and from Brother Sharif. She stayed straight and narrow. If you go back into the movie, The 300, he took them down into a certain part of that valley. And what did he do? He kept them so, it was so many of those soldiers coming at the 300. They knew it was only 300 of them, so they had to stay in a straight and narrow path. So they said 5,000-10,000 men, they couldn't all rush because it was too narrow for them to go wide and broad. So they was able to keep them straight and narrow, and all them guys was just running into each other. So, you know, that's how you stay straight and narrow. If you go back into the 300, when he was getting ready to kill that wolf, he went into the straight and narrow path so that wolf wouldn't be able to get him. He had to come straight and narrow at him, and he was able to kill the wolf. So, family, and if you want to destroy anything, stay straight and narrow. I'm telling you, the Bible is so powerful to knock your socks off. Trust me. You just keep your stuff straight and narrow. Keep your words straight and narrow. Somebody want to argue with you? Be straight with them and be narrow. It means use little words. When you look at the Bible, God, I don't be talking to you for a long time. Go read your Bible. He don't have no long conversation with you. It's straight and narrow. He tell you what he want you to do, and that's that. He's finished. Stay straight and narrow. Bottom line, same thing with your paperwork. You want to stay straight and narrow. You want to apply John chapter 8, verse 32. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Put the truth on your paperwork, and it's going to free you. Bottom line, this is how I won my case. I stayed straight and narrow. All I did was give them the truth, and I beat them, and I'll beat them again. Give me some paperwork. Tell me some foolishness. I guarantee you I will dissect your paperwork, and then I'll send you my stuff, and I'll tell you let's prepare for court because I'm ready to come. I will arm myself according to Ephesians chapter 6. I will put on whole armor from head to toe. Real slow. And I guarantee you will not pierce my armor. There's no crack in my armor, buddy, at all. So I yield the floor back to you, Brother Sharif. If they got any questions, I'm ready to answer questions. I will tell them how things affect their system, how they need to line the system back up with this different essential. I know about essential oils, herbs, breathing, whatever, food, whatever. I got it inside of my mind. I am the book. I don't need books in front of me. I have not one book right now in front of me. I am the book. I yield the floor back to you, Kate.
Woo-wee!
Look, let me tell you something, brief. When the power of knowledge and wisdom speaks, there's often silence, even from one of the lions of Judah. Okay? There is silence. We yield to wisdom and knowledge. And people don't have anything to ask you, priest. I mean, what could they say? I mean, you know, it's really nothing to say. There is absolute silence. And I respect and I honor that because that's how it should be. Our spiritual journey should be that of learning, listening, silence, and demonstration of what we heard. And look, man, you have to be on the show. Your part of the show is just as important as the latter part. I mean, preparing our people for dealing with life, as I say in the prayer, we're increasing the vibrations and frequencies of the people trying to restore their mind, their health with Sister Unique, their spirit with Brother Elishua, their mind with Brother Elishua, and trying to educate them with myself and all of those elements and all of those four walls of that temple, that house, is important. And, brother, I just, man, look. As y'all know, the centerpiece of this ministry is focused on the education and spiritual aspect of things. Brother Sharif and Brother Elishua are those centerpieces. You need both. As y'all see, he's not preaching to you. He's not recruiting. I mean, he's just telling you straight truth from not only knowledge, not only wisdom, but, which is what many people lack these days, experience. This is a man that has been there, done that, got the medal. Been there, done that, got the medal. What is the medal? He succeeded on what he's telling you. He's been in the lion's mouth, so to speak. He's out. He's here. He's walking amongst you. He's talking amongst you. What else could you ask for? That's why there's silence. You understand? So, you know, HORministry@yahoo.com. If you need a consultation with the priest, HORministry@yahoo.com. I really advise you to use that service that we provide here at HOR, because many of you, and I'm going to get into the meat and the potatoes of my class, many of y'all have the wrong spirit. You have the wrong attitude. Your mind is not fit. You're not prepared for battle. Your armor plates are melted. You're angry. You're pissed off. You're uneducated, and you're not prepared for battle. You're not battle ready. Because in order to be successful in battling, you have to have tactic and strategy. And how can you have that if you don't think straight, if you don't eat straight, if your body is not healthy, if your temple is not prepared properly? So I can give you all the education in the world. I can give you all the strategy and tactic in the world. If you don't have the right attitude, the right mindset, and the right spirit, I've given you something that will not work. Period. Have you ever heard of those guys that are very articulate and they use very fancy words and huge words, but they're not powerful? They don't get through to you. They don't have the right spirit. Something about them don't feel right. They don't have the right delivery. That's because of the failures of the body and the mind that the priest just spoke about. Okay? I can say the same thing one of these professors will say, and you will hear me more than you hear them. Why? They have no spirit. They have not the right mindset. They're not great orators. They're not able to come down to your level. And if they fail to bring you up to their level, then you miss the entire education, which is what happens in these educational institutions. They don't know how to speak to the kids. They don't know how to get down to their level. They don't know what their spirit is. They don't know what their mindset is. They don't care. It's just wholesale education. All right? So you need a consultation with the priest, no matter what you're dealing with, financial, metaphysical, mental, breakdown of the body, the mind, the spirit. You cannot function unless you start repairing, replenishing, and restoring those elements. Get all the education and knowledge you want. When you come face to face with that devil who is swift-tongued, who is schooled, skilled, and battle-ready, you're going to flop. Why? Your mind's not right. Your spirit's not right. Your body's not right. They're going to read your body language. Tell them, priest, they're going to read you. They're going to size you up the moment they see you. They're going to see you sweating. They're going to see you smelling like McDonald's or Burger King, or they're going to see that your spirit's off. They're going to see that you have fear. We have to understand that fear is a prison. Okay?
That's
fear
right,
is
brother.
A prison. They're going to see
right.
that you're in prison. Go ahead, priest.
You're right. I teach that every Sunday for 15-minute segments. My segment is called Mental Shackles of the Big Prison. You all will think that you're not in prison. You are in more prison than the people behind the mortar and the brick. Trust me, you're in more prison than them. Your mind is in prison. And you have so many shackles shackled around your mind you don't even know. Fear, doubt, disbelief, lackadaisical, lazy. You have so many shackles that shackles and binds your mind down. Those are the walls that I'm talking about that you must tear down. You must tear down those walls. You have, some of us have a lot of racial issues still left inside of us. Those are walls that governs you, because we all were deceived by Satan from Revelation 12:9. The heaven didn't start in Genesis. The war started in Revelation. And the war is your mind. And when the war was in heaven, it was inside of your mind. So therefore, you have to be able to chase Lucifer out of your mind. So you must use the power of Mikael in Hebrew. You must use your leadership and lead yourself out of hell, because you was taken by the serpent tail. That's why he took one-third of the fallen angel with his tail. Again, you know, he took you with his tail, so you must grab the serpent by the tail and control him and make him bow down to you and cast. And when you take that serpent by the tail, you'll do what Moses did. When he grabbed that serpent by the tail, it turned back into a rod. So that means you need to take hold of this information, not run from it. When you hear a lot of people, oh, you don't have to go to court. Yes, you do. Go into the court and learn the language of the court and learn how to talk and present yourself righteously and right. Listen to them, because they only got a few words. They don't have a whole lot of stuff. You're afraid. Yes, so only a few things that they say inside that court, trust me. If you go and sit in that court every day or every week, once a week, 30 minutes, and just listen to the language, you'll learn how to navigate in that court and whoop behind. You'll put your feet on their neck. That's what you do. My granddad used to put his feet on when he worked in cotton fields, and when he worked the fields, he had his own farm. He said, you want to stop that snake? You just put your feet on his neck. And that's what he did. Same thing with you. Put your feet on their neck, or grab a serpent by the tail and control the serpent. Don't let the serpent control you. He controls you through fear. That's how he's able to control you. You all run from the paperwork or put it on a shelf or forget about it, hoping that it's going to go away. It's not going away. You better face your fears. You better face that serpent. You better go into the lion's den. Lion mouth will be shut up. How did when Daniel went inside the lion's den? The mouth of the lions was shut up, because he had faith in his creator. He didn't lose faith because he was in a lion's den. Meshach, Shachar, and Abednego, who you know as Mishael, Azariah, and Isaiah, they didn't care. They went into the fiery furnace, and it was turned up seven times hotter. Again, that's the number seven family. It was turned up seven times hotter. That means they put that much stress and pressure on their mind seven times greater than what it was. And this is what you're going through, the foreclosure. They're putting you guys under pressure, trying to keep your mind from progressing. And guess what? The whole thing is to take your mind off the Creator. This was the whole idea. It's to make you denounce the Creator of heaven and earth. This is why you've been bogged down with so many burdens, so many bills, to keep you focusing on bills, to keep you focusing on your burdens and your debts that you supposedly have. That's what they got your mind focusing on. You can never focus on the Creator, because you're always worrying about making money and going to work and paying bills. See? You have to take control, fam. Take control of your mind. Take control of your spirituality. Take control of your life. If you don't,
right,
you will have a crash course. Back to you.
That's
Chief.
Right. Peace. Yeah, brother. I mean, much love and respect for the post. I'm going to get some comments. I'm going to get into the crux of the show. I'm going to say one thing to everybody. HOR Ministry is a non-religious group, okay, a private membership association, all right? We understand here that everybody has different religious beliefs, okay?
I really don't care about them. What we are doing is bringing into focus the need for spiritual foundation and a mental foundation when dealing with issues such as debt. I really don't care for comments, and I know everybody have their opinion about their differences of opinion with regards to the Bible and what it really says in Scripture. We always get all caught up in a book that has created more religions than the Federal Reserve has created notes. We try to act like we wrote the book. If the interpretation being delivered makes sense, then that's what we need to be caught up on. I always get annoyed when people just focus on, well, that's not what the Bible say. Oh, did you write it? You know, they have nothing to say about the information being delivered, about the significance of the information. But we can sit up here, if I open up the line and I had some people come in from different religious backgrounds, we'd be on here until tomorrow discussing and arguing about what it says and what it doesn't. We need to grow up. We really need to grow up. Take it as you may. Take the message for what it is. And I say that respectfully. All right, priest, we love you, man. If you're going to hang in, do HORministry@yahoo.com. I'm telling y'all, some of y'all are fighting some battles, some legal battles. Some of you are fighting some spiritual battles. Some of you have disruption in your family over debt, in your household over debt. Some of you have some breakdowns of the body because of debt. I mean, I've heard no better monologue on how this affects the body and the stomach and the mind. Man, just amazing. And can't nobody on this call not agree to some extent with some of those effects. So peace and blessings. We love you. Let me get into this education for the people say, you know, you ain't give us enough. You know, but definitely profound, profound, profound priest. Love the job you're doing. I mean, you went in hard. I had to give you some more time, you know, to get in because the people need it. And they'll have it every Tuesday. You're going to need that because a lot of them come in here with them devils and them spirits and, you know, and they come in here and they get an answer to a question and they don't even get the answer, or they take the answer and they be arguing with it. They'll come here for help, Right. Ask a question, and argue with the answer. Or their question is framed as a question, but it's really a challenge. You understand? The nerve of them. So peace and blessings. Let me get into the show, Priest. We love you. Let me get into the Yama, then I'm going to get into my show. I got a lot to go over today. Let me bring the Yama in. Yama, peace and blessings. Welcome to HOR. I didn't get you last week. You already beat me up. Don't do it on the air. I'm sorry you had called from different numbers. I thought it was the aliens calling, and I just didn't answer. So I'm going to make sure I'm going to get you in right now, let you double up from last week, and tell us what you think about your son, the priest Elishua, and just bless us with your words of wisdom.
Yes, shalom, shalom, shalom. Wow, this time be now. It be right now to receive the truth. And see, when we read, we must hear what the words say. You just don't read and not pay attention to what the words are saying. And that's how you get your strength. Because when truth is going forth, when the word of truth is going forth from the Creator, because the post Elijah, that's how he works. He works through the Creator. See, Sharif, that's how he works, through the Creator. The sister, I think her name is Layla.
Layla.
She works through the Creator. When Yama speaks, I hear what the Creator tells me, and I say it, and that be truth. And that's how we get our knowledge. The beginning of truth is when you can start acquiring knowledge. And that leads you on the road to be complete in truth. So when you hear things that are bogus and when someone's trying to dupe you, you weigh it against what you've heard that be true. And that's how you respond. And that's how you react. And that's how you get your increase. And that's how you be restored. It's all about being restored. And a lot of things we have to let go because why? It keeps us in our carnal flesh. It doesn't allow us to get into spirit. And that's where, and see, spirit and carnality is like having a carton of eggs, and instead of eating the eggs inside, you wind up having the carton for breakfast. That's right. So you, when you stay in the spirit, then you get your truth, you get your knowledge, you get your understanding, so you'll be above all and you'll have overstanding. And you can see things before they even come to you. You'll know what's happening before it happens. And that's a good place to be in.
Is that the angels singing like birds in the background, or is that really the birds around you when you're talking?
Listen, Yah works through his creation. And if Yah want to speak,
right,
he will do it. Yes. Yes.
Somebody in the chat said, is Yah my talking? Is that the birds or the angels chirping around? I said, it's probably both.
That's both. That's both. That's the messengers of Yah speaking to the creator. You know what they're doing? They're esteeming the creator because Yah said, in all things, esteem him. And the birds do it. The trees do it when they be blown back and forth. And how much more should we do it? Esteem
Indeed.
The creator in all things. Like with Sister Layla, she didn't have to read that, but she went into a spiritual, her spiritual height. That's where she went. And she knew that it was already taken care of. That's the beneficial aspect of being in the creator, being in the spirit. Because his words never fall to the ground. They always accomplish what he sent it to accomplish. Not based on what man want to do to you, but based on you being in the creator, being spiritual, and he supplying all your needs. And that should be our daily walk. We should be on that path doing that all day long. So when fear comes and try to take over, truth speaks forth.
Indeed.
Yes, that's
love
what we
you,
should
Yama.
Be. Yes,
Indeed.
Yes, love you. Restoration to all the family. Another thing I wanted to say, I was saying family, which is fine, but y'all said, you know what, you're kin. It's like we've been knitted together. You ever see a sweater and you can't tell where the beginning started or where it ended?
Yeah,
how tight
it
is? So we be kin folks. Knitted together.
That's right.
As one,
love
that's
you,
when you get your unity, your community. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to bring in the Yah-Fi. Let him do his comments. Love you, Yama. I'll bring you in later before the show ends.
Yes.
For peace and blessings.
Gotta
get your spirit in here. Yes, yes, ma'am. All right. Let's see if the Yah-Fi available. 856-7524. Is that the Yah-Fi?
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings to the kinfolks.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Yah. What's up?
I tell you, my frequency is raised every time I listen to the show. Everybody that comes on the show has such positive input. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Indeed.
You know, Sharif, I was thinking about what you said last week. You said that when you were talking about the 666, and
yes,
you said it was how 6.6% of people won't get it or will get it. And I said, wow, that's a high number. That is really a high number. Because Noah, he worked on the ark for a long time, and they walked by him every day, and they said, man, that Noah's crazy. That guy's nuts. Then when the flood started, everybody was knocking on the door trying to get in. When Moses was going to take them into the promised land, God said, no, we got to let these die off. Then we'll bring in the new minds. So it's even for the prophets of the Bible, it was hard to get 66.6% of the people. That's high. But
that's right.
I see you trying. I see you giving it every effort you got. You're trying with every fiber of your being. I just don't want you to be discouraged when you run into the negativity. That's all.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
all.
Sir.
Because plenty,
yes,
plenty
sir,
came
yeah,
before.
That's true. That's right. That 33% is all we're going to get. I think we're doing a little bit better than that, you know. But
well,
you know,
and that's a beautiful thing. That is beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. But I'm telling you, that 33%, if you can do 33%, that is a high number.
That is.
A very high number.
That is. That is. Definitely love
like
that.
You said,
glad you reflected on that, y'all.
Oh, yeah, I thought about that one. I thought about it. I went through different scriptures and you know, and just how many people actually get it. Like when the priest was on today, when he was speaking, it was almost as if he was speaking right to my soul. You know, he mesmerizes you when he speaks. But I can imagine how many people wouldn't understand it. They would challenge him, just like you just got done saying. They would challenge him. Well, this is what it means. That, no. First of all, you and I can read the same scripture and get a different. We both
That's right.
get different definitions. But that doesn't mean that you're wrong or I'm wrong. That was what was to be revealed to us at that particular time, for what we were going through at that particular time. There are people who think they have a lock on this. They're wrong.
Yes.
They're so wrong.
Yes.
That means you know the mind of the Creator, and none of us know the mind of the Creator. We just want to have a part of the mind of the Creator. We want the mind of the Creator to work through us. We don't control the Creator.
That's right.
But
you're right about that, Yahfa. You got to, man. That's all you have to say. Listen, the priest just said, powerful men are of few words, and your few words are always powerful. And when you said what you said about that is the problem. You know, somebody will say something and support it with biblical scripture readings. And people are like, well, you know, no, that's not really what it says. You need to read the other part, and you need, you know, that's get out of here with that nonsense. Like, you know, like, who are you? This is where we get into the division, the arguing, the 50,000 religions out of that book. Yeah, I mean, you name it. It goes on and on. What I hear is what I hear, and what I believe is what I believe. And I don't have to believe what you believe. And you don't have to believe what I believe, but if it makes sense, you have to nod in the affirmative, it makes sense. And we're going to read more people.
We are all walking a different path. We're all going through
That's
different
right.
things.
That's right.
Sheree, can I get
yes,
something
sir.
Real quick?
Sure.
I would like to know who religion out there delivered them from these debt collectors before you came on the scene. That's what I would like to know.
I'd like to know right. that also. I would like to know that also.
That's right. I'd like to know what religion is really dealing with it. That's what I'd like to know. Other than passing around the basket or getting you to drop some money or, you know, who's really dealing with these pertinent issues in your life? I don't see many of them. I don't want to say none because I'm not almighty. The all-powerful, the all-knowing, and I'm definitely not everywhere present, but I want to know who's dealing with it. Do you understand? And I'm going to go ahead on record and say it may not even be one. So, you know, take all that knowledge, all that, you know, so-called esoterical, historical knowledge, and keep applying it to those that are in your group that agree with you. When you come to this network, you're not coming here because we're preaching or we're doing some sort of a ritual. You're coming here for the knowledge. So if your belief system is so right, why are you here? So, Priest, I want you to talk about that 666 for 2 quick minutes so we can get into the show, because you shared some things with me, blew my mind when I was going through that journey, and Yahfa understood I was going through that journey, and listen, nobody told me what I needed to know. I asked the Creator to bring it to me, and he brought it to me. And I dare somebody to argue with me about my belief on what the Creator brought to me. You have a serious problem. But talk about that 666 right quick, and talk about the 660 miles from Europe to Africa. And just give me a little 1 minute of that priest thing for me right quick.
Well, basically, a lot of people think the devil is the 666 or the mark of the beast. When you get into the 666, you have to know the power of numerology and the power of numbers. This is why the Creator teaches you how to study different numbers. When you get into each six, if you're dealing with the power of the six and those triple sixes, which equals up to the 18, and the 18 is really 9. And the sixes is nothing but an upside down 9. This is why your calculator only goes all the way up to 9, because the Creator created everything from triple zeros to from 0 to 9. When you get into understanding the 32 degrees, then you understand that it's 22 Hebrew alphabets and 10 numbers, which is a 32. So when you begin to understand how to get from 0 to 1, if you go into your little ruler and you look on your ruler and you count those different numbers, it's 32 numbers from 0 to 1, and that's how you go from 0 to 1, it's 32. So when you get into those sixes, you have to know six deals with preparation, six deals with family, six deals with volunteering, six deals with writing, six deals with teaching. And that's why I said, in 6 days thou shalt labor, and then on the seventh day thou shalt rest. So six. So then again, you're preparing. You're dealing with family. You're dealing with writing and teaching on that six. You know, dealing with those triple sixes, you know, has nothing to do with your mind becomes satanical when you are not applying the power of the seven. You're not going to get to the seventh day until you understand the six, the triple sixes, and understand the one and the eight, which is really 9, and then you have your completion, because that's how long a woman carries a baby, for 9 months. Then you understand the 9. 9 deals with conclusion, 9 deals with completion, 9 deals with conclusion, and so forth. So again, those sixes runs when you sixes deals with a mindset. It's the number of a man's mind. And when you get into sixes, I can go into a little bit deeper, but I don't want to scare folks who say, oh, that's not what the Bible says. Man, you don't know what the Bible says because you don't speak Hebrew. I do. So I know what the Bible is saying. I have original Torah. I have what it says, what it's supposed to say from the beginning. So when people say that's not what the Bible says, man, there's a lot of English words that didn't translate into Hebrew. You can't do it because the word was too heavy and too powerful. So you really don't know what the Bible says until you read it back into the original text where it came from. So your interpretation of the Bible might not be as accurate as you think it is, and therefore that's why you wasn't able to come with this information from your religion and defeat the debt demon, see, because the debt demon runs into the sixes. So if you are in debt, you are part of the satanical system. Yes, you are, and I'll show you in your Bible, word for word, that you are part of the serpent system. Serpent is the devil. The devil is the great dragon. So you are part of the great dragon. You are part of that one-third that was taken under the debt, under that debt crisis, that debt information. That's why if you read your Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and the Our Father presence, forgive your debts as you forgive your debtors. Why do you think Christ said that? Huh? Okay. But anyway, the sixes deals with a mindset, okay? It's a mindset, and you must understand the power of those numbers, and then you'll be able to come off and under the power of the triple sixes, because the triple sixes is really part of the WWW, because in Hebrew, the W is the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Wav, and Wav removes the protection from from you. So when you see WWW, looking at 666 for your information, you really don't know what you think you know, and what you think you know, you don't know enough about that. So anytime you want to talk to the priest about what you think you know, just get your little Bibles ready, and I'll show you. I will blow your mind how powerful that book is. If you can master Genesis, then you can master this system and overpower this system. I'll give it back to you, brother.
All right, brother. You hurting me, boy. My feet hurting. So please, Yapa, thank you. Let's get into this show. Let's get into the meat. Y'all prepared now. Your mind, your spirit should be prepared for the information we're going to get into. Layla, do you have anything to say right quick? Sister Layla, your phone is muted, probably.
Yes, my phone is muted, and all I can say is, wow. I kept nodding my head when I listened to the mother, listened to the father, and I listened to the priest again. I kept nodding my head because I'm just overwhelmed with immense, powerful knowledge. I have nothing more to say at this point.
Peace. Thank you.
Peace and blessings.
All right. I'm going to mute you out and bring you in later. All right. It's time for Brother Sharif. Priest, I appreciate you. Thank you. If you're still here, I'll call on you later. All right, let's get into the information. All right, 424-222-5250, the call-in number. Press star 1. We're going to get the questions here in another hour or so. Let me get into some information. All right, about debts. I had a very interesting week. Had a lot of questions. First of all, I want to say peace and blessings to the chat. We appreciate all of you being here. I want to say honors to all of the supporters out there of HOR. Thank you for all of the emails. Thank you for all the deposits of thanks, acknowledgement. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Myself, Sister L, Layla, the priest, Unique, we all appreciate it. My team, my staff, we all appreciate it. We really do. We need those. Because as you know, we expend a lot of energy and spirit when we bring you these shows. They are not easy. Right quick, I want to say for those of you that did not have the opportunity to listen to the Brother Youssef, again, I had the opportunity to ride shotgun yesterday with him on the show. Even without me, the brother does a great job. Look, man, you know, we doing it around here, you hear? Everybody's stepping up. Everybody's playing harder, playing better because we're around better people. I'm playing harder because I'm around better people. But if you did not have an opportunity to listen to that show, very, very good show. We touched on a lot of topics, but I just rode shotgun. And it was a pleasure to be able to ride with my co-host, also the founder, Brother Youssef. So listen to that show yesterday. Today, we're going to talk about a lot of things. First, at the top, make a couple of announcements, all right? I'm going to get into some homeowners association talk and share with you some information and cases that may help you determine whether or not they are debt collectors. And some of the things that they do that is very similar and identical to some of the National Banking Association and the debt buyers and debt collectors who purchase these defaulted debts. Some interesting news there. I'm going to be talking about lawsuits. Who are filing them? Who should not be? All right? I'm going to talk about a little guru talk, of course. We have to. We have to inform the people on what's going on, all right? I'll start off with some news first, all right? In national media, okay? Again, we're just bringing you news. We don't wish harm on anybody. Some of you are too angry out there. You come into information and you automatically load it like you would a bullet. And you're ready to shoot somebody with it, whether it's a lawsuit, whether it's a quote, whether it's something the priest said, I said, someone else said. We're too angry. We're too gun happy. We have itchy trigger fingers. All right? As my country brethren say, you're too full of piss and vinegar. All right? For the Yamas, they might have told my sisters and my cousins, you too hot in the pants. Y'all are taking information in its primal stages, and you're trying to act like you know what you're doing. I had so many emails and calls of people filing lawsuits that you have no business doing anything but listening and reading. Why are you out there filing lawsuits and you do not know what to do, even if you get by the filing process of a lawsuit? Y'all are not ready.
Many of you think that you file a lawsuit and you win. You do a summons, you do a complaint, and I doubt if you're filling that out correctly. You do a civil cover sheet, you're going in the wrong courts talking the wrong thing, and you're going in the right courts not talking what you're supposed to, and then you call or you email HOR and you want us to get you out of your mess. No, we're not doing that. That's not what we advocate here. We are educating you. But just because we say something and make it look easy, it is not easy, nor is it difficult. It takes application. It takes time. It takes studying. It takes preparation. It takes patience. And I don't mean to be offensive, but some of you can't even read. Literally. And then some of you can't read enough with understanding to be going into some venue trying to repeat or regurgitate what you hear on a show. If y'all don't understand my show last week, what I was explaining to you is something that happened in my life that I learned for myself. I called the priest. I called the Yama. I got some information from them on what these revelations were. But it wasn't enough until I learned it for myself. Some of you are not ready to do something until you learn it for yourself, not whether I tell you or not. You have to pick up the book. You cannot avail yourself of studying. In masonry, we may call it show yourself proficient and worthy. Many of you are not. You get a copy of a complaint, you get a sample of a complaint, you cut and paste, you plagiarize, and then you think you're ready for battle. You are going to, and you have been, and you will get absolutely crushed. Nothing comes easy. What, y'all think you can learn something on the show or get a document off the internet, and that's going to represent some disappearance of the debt? You really think it's that easy? You really think these attorneys go to school for 7 years for you to print something off the internet and go in and say a couple of terms and that's it? Are y'all kidding? Your mind is marked. You're subscribing to some palatable doctrine, which is easier on your ears and your lifestyle and what you want to believe. That's not the way it works. If you listen to 4 shows, you're not ready. Some of you file a lawsuit, then well, what do I do? They file the motion to dismiss. Are you serious? Come on. Let's get into it, though. A couple of things happened this week. Well, I shared with you some emails. We're going to go over a couple of cases, some FDCPA cases, FCRA cases, on how the courts are ruling. I share with you, if you on that email contact list, debtshow@yahoo.com, you were given some information for you to study, to read. If you did not read it, don't call with a question. I share information with you that is pertinent, that is relevant. I'm just not throwing thousands or tens of pages at you just to read. If you're serious about understanding commerce, understanding debt collection, you have to read these cases, and you have to read them sometimes 3, 5, or 7 times. But those of you that understand that. All right? So I'm going to read to you an article on the national media talking about piles of dead bankers and an exodus from MERS. Now, I'm going to go on record by saying I don't believe anybody should die over debt. I don't believe anybody should die over money. I don't believe anybody should die, period. Even if you decide to take your own life, I don't believe you should die. So we don't advocate at all any plunder of another human, and that's not why I'm reading this article. But I do believe
that the Creator will deal with all that enslave the people. So this article, around the world, bad things are happening to the banksters. They've been plunging off of buildings, getting hit by trains, gunned down along with members of their families. That's unfortunate. By some accounts, more than 20 have so far bitten the dust. This is serious. It's nothing to laugh at. All right? So the article goes on, and I'm not going to read it in its entirety, but there's been some death of banksters, and there's been a mass exodus from MERS. MERS meaning Mortgage Electronic Registration System, or as they are affectionately named now by and through a name change, MERS Corp. MERS, Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems, does not exist anymore. That's an update. All right? So what it goes, the article goes on to say that, you know, a lot of these banksters, some of their family members, are being killed. Some of them are committing suicide. And the legal department, which I didn't know they had, at MERS, the bigwigs quit. A lot of them, most of them, really don't know. But the article seems to suggest the legal department resignations are a significant indicator that the fraud might be about to bust wide open. And it could be just the beginning of the days of, and they said it, dead bankers, although I don't, again, subscribe to those results. But as the priest said, a lot of times when you dance with that devil and the people begin to get educated, then that devil will turn on you and hold you accountable for not keeping the people blind, which is what is happening at MERS. So things might be coming to an end. Now, we understand that MERS is used by these National Banking Association debt collectors and attorneys both. They're used to create a document called an assignment, okay, to facilitate foreclosure and or collection of certain debts, mainly mortgage deeds and things of that nature. All right? Y'all know the story about MERS. I'm not going to duplicate effort and speak about it again. You know that MERS, although they are named in your documentation many of the time, they only, even if they have that, have access to mortgages, not notes. When you look at many of your assignments, as I was speaking to Sister Layla, you will see that MERS a lot of times will allege that they are transferring and or selling the note and the mortgage, which is an absolute lie. They never, pursuant to their own MERS membership rules, they never take any possession of any promissory notes. Okay? And simply, the reason is, they're not named on a promissory note. They're many times named on a mortgage, not the promissory note. So if you have assignments that purport to transfer or sell the note along with the mortgage, you got a deceptive assignment. Wait a minute. Don't go running to court talking about the robo-signer and the deceptive assignment, all right? Because, you know, we don't believe in that here at HOR. All right, we just stick to the consumer protection laws. Where is that located? 1692 E and F. False representations. Okay? Or you can go to 1692 J. Furnishing of deceptive forms. All of these violations are actionable under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Is it not? Yes. All right? So that's that about MERS. It seems like either, you know, I sent you a humorous email from one of the listeners and supporters of HOR that sent out an email that one of the attorneys in Florida, and I don't know this to be true, that's what they said. That's why I said I don't know. Matt Widener, who's a good attorney in Florida, he has a website
Matt Widener, W-E-I-D-N-E-R, I believe. He has a pretty big website. He's been an advocate for justice for the people. He's spoken a lot about judicial corruption, governmental corruption, things of that nature. So he's been exercising his right to free speech, okay? And he's provided, you know, everybody with some good information. But, you know, he has a YouTube out there, which I sent to be on the mailing list. It was told to me that he listened to one of the shows or one of the webinars, and he basically co-signed and agreed with HOR or Brother Sharif that, yeah, I mean, the FDCPA, the consumer protection laws, and the bankruptcy court appears to be the way to go. And he has an interesting YouTube monologue on this very fact. He has also admitted that the state courts does have a great deal of corruption and that he'd rather get out of those venues because they wouldn't be able to get away with what they get away with in the U.S. District Courts, the federal courts. So I've never heard of him stating these type of facts or beliefs prior to recently. So we're hoping that the people are getting out there again. He who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled. So I'm hoping that people are getting out there and they're being more educated and they're educating the legal society on the direction they want to go, on a direction that they understand, that they have requisite knowledge of, not where they want to take you. So I want to give a thumbs up to Matt Widener. Whatever information came to him, or whether the spirit spoke to him, or whether one of the people or two of the people spoke to him, or whether he heard some information that made sense to him, I want to acknowledge his change of direction and go on the route that I feel is more feasible for you if you're dealing with a debt collector, which many of you are. All right. Some of the gurus out there was, you know, again, they listen to the show, and it sounds easy. And as y'all know, I'm a big fan of Floyd Mayweather fighting this weekend. And one of the things he always says is that I make it look easy in the ring. And we may make it look easy here at HOR. I might make it look easy, but it's not easy. But in my opinion, and I may be subjective, it's not difficult. So some of the gurus run out and, you know, the ones that collect a lot of money from the people and do these administrative processes and all these other things, all right, wanted to try to change lanes and thought they can cut and piece together the information that is given on the show and go have some demonstration of it. And they fell on their face because they don't study. Okay? What they said was, oh, we don't need that information, man. He said enough. We got it. We got it. We're going to load up. We're going in there. And the lawyers and attorneys, the skilled people that read, that actually went to school, gave them the business. And they ran out looking like fools. Why? Your spirit wasn't right to begin with. You thought you learned something that you can go resell and package to the people instead of an administrative process. Now you wanted to rely upon the information that's demonstrated here, but you didn't have the requisite knowledge to be successful. You didn't study. Do you really think you can go out there and take one document or one show and go out there and deal with a system that does this every day? That would be as stupid as me challenging Floyd Mayweather to a boxing match. You can't challenge someone unless you study what they study, unless you know what they know or a little bit more. To the gurus, you got to put your time in and educate yourself. You got to know this in and out. You have to know why, when, where, what and how. No shortcut. Let me move on. Boot camp coming up in New York. We'll have a firm date in a week.
California will have a firm date in a week. Okay? We're coming up against a holiday, so, and some other celebrations that is going on in the San Diego area, so we're trying to gauge the weekend event so we're not colliding with other festivities that may be occurring in that area. So just bear with us. It is going to happen. It's not canceled. And while I'm on that, I want to give an apology because I understand that there were nearly a dozen people at the event, although it was postponed. It might have been more. So for those of you that didn't get the word, get on the mailing list, debtshow@yahoo.com, because I believe I said it on the show and I emailed out that it was postponed. So I heard a couple of people flew in anyway to participate in the event with HOR, and for that, I'm sorry. If you did that, contact me. We will make some concessions for you at the next event. We thought we got the word out, and we did everything we could, but we understood the word was traveling to people that may not listen to the show or may not have been on the mailing list. So we apologize for that, and definitely we'll try to compensate you for your loss of time. But we appreciate you coming. All right. We're going to talk about HOA, Homeowners Association. I got an email today that I extrapolate out of my pile of communications and thought it would be worthy of sharing with the people. In my personal opinion, I think these homeowners associations are mini governments, okay? But they're here. There's even a movement of people trying to move out of homeowner association communities because they can be just as oppressive as a political party, so to speak. Many of you that purchase homes, you know, homeowners association, which what they call, and I love the way the priest broke it down, you will normally sign a declaration and covenant. And as the priest broke it down, covenant means contract. So you are actually signing into their membership, their homeowners association membership. It is a membership. Okay? And with any membership, you agree to certain terms and conditions. So you sign for it at the closing table. Many times they will not forget, okay, to have you execute and sign your declaration and covenant to be governed by the homeowner association. Now, they're formed under the umbrella that they want to keep the community in continuity, keep your grass cut, keep the community's value, property values up high, do certain landscaping, certain organizational things. That may be true to some extent, but I think they're more than that. I think they're oppressive. And the type of cases I've looked at, it is oppressive. Now, in many states, they have the ability to foreclose on you, such as a lien holder would. Some states, they're just as equally powerful as a banking institution if you don't pay or abide by certain rules of the homeowners association. So the question is, are they subject to the FDCPA? And the answer to that is yes and no. Many of these homeowners associations have management companies. So that means, as I teach here, if there's a in-between party, a third man, for example, third-party debt collector, it is quite possible, and listen to my words, possible that the management company may be in some instances a debt collector. And if they don't say that, you should know it. And if they do say it, you should still be able to know whether they are. See, the important thing about this knowledge is that you will have a lot of debt collectors just to cover themselves because they're lazy
they don't really research who they are and who they are not. A lot of times they'll throw that Miranda on there and say, we're in a debt collector attempting to collect the debt. And then you sue them, and then of course they say, well, they're not a debt collector. That's why you need to know. Okay? Buying through your own knowledge who you're dealing with, whether it's a creditor or debt collector. All right? You have to know. You'll go in court, and they'll put on there they're a debt collector, and you'll go to court, and they'll say, we're not a debt collector. They'll be like, well, hell, you just said you was. There's your documentation. Yeah, but we just put that there, but really, we're not. All right? So if they're collecting on behalf of the creditor, all right, and they're working directly for the creditor, then they're not a debt collector. A homeowners association, in my humble opinion, would be, because you executed a contract with them, a debt collector. This is my opinion. And understand, we don't give any legal advice on this show. We give you opinions, views, experiences. Okay? This is my opinion. I'm not an expert. I'm not right 100% of the time. This is my belief. Research it yourself. But in many respects, because you executed an agreement with them, and even they have a clause, even if you didn't, well, let's say you bought a house directly from a homeowner and you did not use a bank. You might have just bought it cash. You're still subject to the Homeowners Association, even if you didn't sign the Declaration and Covenant. So you have to read it, okay? But as we teach here, in every contract, you give me anybody that is licensed or governed by some law, I'm going to find a way that they may violate it. And that's what we do here. So you have to know who's collecting on behalf of who and whether they're collecting for themselves or they're working for the creditor. For and behalf is different. Working for the creditor and behalf of the creditor is different. You have to understand language. Okay? But let me tell you some of the shiesty things that these homeowners associations do. They don't send you proper notice. I have personal experience with that. I beat the stew beef out of a homeowners association personally because they don't read their own covenant and declaration. They never send you the required notices as a condition precedent. They don't follow their own rules. And for those of you that listen to this network and specifically this show, you will find they rarely ever follow their rules. So instead of crying about it and saying these dirty banks, I like a dirty bank. They print money. And they're always committing violations. I'm not mad with them at all. So I'm going to share with you how dirty the homeowners associations can be and how they don't care about who they defraud. And basically collect from illegal fees, charges, and principal. There was a case I read about a couple of years ago, and I was able to retrieve it from my archives, a case regarding about 50, I said 50, there was 50 homeowners association companies that were sued by the United States, the Justice Department. Yes, the Justice Department. Why, Brother Sharif, did they sue 50 homeowners association? For the same reasons you should be suing them for. Okay? Fee gorging, collecting on amounts not due and owing, erroneous liens, fabricating documentation. Did I not mention to you earlier 1692 E, F, and J? I don't think there's a debt collector in this world that doesn't violate some provision of the consumer protection laws. Not one. So emboldened by the people's uneducated state, these companies usually get big balls, so to speak, and they just start screwing everybody, okay? So they decided to mess with the government, all of them, all right? As you know, when you go through foreclosures, a lot of times these who are foreclosing are government entities, Fannie Mae, Freddie, and entities such as those. So what was happening was the homeowners association said, well, look, because, you know, it's just theft is just rampant. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody gets arrested. It's hard to beat them in a foreclosure, although the gurus will tell you they can do it. Okay? And nobody's really doing anything about it because it is a civil war. And y'all need to not be scared of a civil war. And that civil war is predicated on the skilled, knowledgeable people that educate themselves. In this case, we educate you on the consumer protection laws. So you're in a civil war when you're going through these debt collections, whether it's foreclosure, credit card debt, or any other type of collection. All right? So what these homeowners associations were doing was when Fannie and Freddie and all these other entities were taking these homes from you, they were piling up these liens and charges on the properties, figuring that, listen, everybody else is stealing, why don't we get a piece of the pie? That's what happens. That's why many people in the legal society just jump on the fraud wagon. Some of the people in the judicial system jump on the fraud wagon. Some of the politicians jump on the fraud wagon. Why? Because it's easy. They see everyone else doing it. Okay? And some of these people were good people before they start seeing the overwhelming amount of fraud around them, and they're like, well, shucks, let me get a piece of the money. So the Homeowners Association out in Nevada said, let me get a piece of that money. We know you're stealing these properties from the people and you have no business, and we're sitting up here just collecting $5 a month in Homeowners Association membership fees, and we can't even cut the grass for the community, okay? So they decided to start charging up the government because, you know, the government usually pay before they ask questions, and they were doing it so long that they said, we're good. I mean, these Homeowners Association owners, understand they're owned by private owners. You will be surprised that some of these homeowners associations are owned by attorneys. Do your research. That's what we teach you here. Okay? So they're privately owned. All right? So what they had is this racket going on, and I said 50 or more homeowners association. They had this racket going on where they were just charging these liens and amounts and charges and attorneys' fees and collection costs and everything else to the government, to Fannie, to Freddie. So your good old DOJ came in and said, nah, something ain't right, right? And they went and sued not only the Homeowners Association, but they sued the banks as well, all right? The case is out of Nevada, all right? And district court is called United States of America, XREL, versus, all right, versus Wells Fargo and about, you know, BAC Home Loan Servicing, Chase Home Finance, Countrywide, I mean, MetLife, Bank of America, more, who else is here? Some law firms is in there. First Horizon is in there. SunTrust is in there. I mean, it's a slew of them. Okay? The defendant page is about 5 pages long. All right? Those are all defendants. All right? And what's the importance behind this case? One is that many of them settled with the government. You know, they don't want a part of the DOJ. Many of them settled. There were some suicides of some sheriff deputies that were allegedly involved, of some attorneys, of some homeowner association CEOs. I mean, it was, you know, when the government comes down on you, You know, they start opening you up real wide. And some, you know, some people, like what's going on now, some of these people just commit suicide, or so they say. And some people just couldn't take it. They were riding around in Lamborghinis, and they got word they were the DOJ was coming after them, and they just said, look, man, let me just drive off the bridge. It's over. But they were enriched. But I want to discuss with you the importance behind this case, because I read cases. My co-host does research. We read, and we read thoroughly. And we teach you to read thoroughly so you can understand where you might be able to have some success. All you have to do is read some of the judges' orders from these debt collection cases. Read some of the orders from these foreclosure cases. They're going to give you the law. All right? A lot of time the information is out there. You just have to compile it. You have to actually read it and digest it. But I want to share with you some important parts of this case that would hold true in many of your debt collection cases. What the Justice Department was saying in their complaint about the homeowners associations and the banks were about fees and charges. And I'm going to share with you the significance behind that, because you will find these type of conducts in almost every case you deal with, be it a foreclosure or a debt collection, and that's fees, specifically attorney's fees, okay? Part of the lawsuit that the DOJ filed against these banks and homeowners association, they made this revelation that opened my third eye and made it a part of my repertoire and strategy and tactic. And that's attorney's fees or cost. Y'all have to understand there's a difference in cost and fees. Costs mean if something costs $5 to file, you can only charge, if the contract says they can charge cost of attorney's fees or attorney's fees, there's a difference. Attorney's fees is what the amount the attorney sets. That is fair by their state standards. Those fees are governed by their state, okay? In some states, if you're in Ohio, Ohio does not allow their attorney to collect fees, legal costs, attorney fees for collection activity. Many of you don't know that. You have to read your local rules and your state laws. This is why it's difficult for these gurus to cut and paste documents for you in all 50 states, because they don't know the laws in all 50 states. This is why I focus on federal law, which is the consumer protection laws, because they are the same in every state. The FCRA, the FDCPA, the TCPA. These are all federal statutes that are the same, but you still are subject to your state local rules even when you're in those federal courts. So you have to learn both. This is why it's nearly impossible for many of these groups and gurus to help you in a foreclosure case in every state. Very difficult. That's why attorneys have licenses for different states. They have to be licensed to practice in a particular state. Why? They can't be a United States attorney, all right? Because you don't know all the laws in every state. You don't know 50 state local rules of procedure. Very difficult task. So let's get into it. The Justice Department was saying in their complaint, they said, pursuant to the Nevada Revised Statute, which is state law, okay, they were saying that the Defendant Homeowners Association, not the debt collectors, to charge the government owners reasonable fees to cover the cost of collecting any past due obligation. So what they're saying is the Nevada Revised Statute, which is the consumer protection law for the state of Nevada, only permits the homeowners association, follow me, the homeowners association to charge the government owners reasonable fees to cover the cost of collecting any past due obligation. How is that significant? Listen. Nevada Revised Statute defines cost of collecting as any fee, charge, or cost by whatever name, including without limitation, any collection fee, filing fee, recording fee, fee related to the preparation, recording, or delivery of a lien or lien rescission, title lien search, bankruptcy search fee, referral fee. It names all the fees. It's saying that the Nevada Revised Statute defines the cost of collection. Okay? That means that the law allows the homeowners association to charge that fee. But listen closely. There is no provision at law which permits defendant homeowners association to authorize third-party debt collectors. And for those of you that have that case, this is on page 40 and 41. There is no provision that permits the defendant homeowners association to authorize third-party debt collectors to unilaterally assess a charge, the government, any and all fees and costs that the debt collectors wish to charge in the collection of past-due obligations. Irrespective of the fact that the defendant homeowners associations never actually incurred any collection fees or costs. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to explain to you the significance of what the Department of Justice was saying in their complaint. The Homeowners Association was selling the debts to the third-party debt collectors. The Homeowners Association was selling the debt to the third-party debt collectors, and the third-party debt collectors was charging the government for debt collection fees, attorney fees, costs, lien preparation, research, and things of that nature. That charge is only allowed by law to the homeowner association. Do you understand? I'm going to read to you this paragraph one more time. Irrespective of the fact that defendant homeowners association never actually incurred any collection costs or fees. So what is the significance and the point behind what I'm saying? Many of y'all are in court with these debt collectors. This is exactly what they do. Why can I say it? Because I done dealt with it, and I done won based on what I'm telling you. In many instances, your mortgage or your deed of trust or your credit card contract will allow for cost of attorney's fees or cost of filing certain documentation, liens, and things of that nature. My own personal experience in dealing with a homeowners association was they were charging like $125 if you fell behind on your dues. So what the homeowners association would do is file a lien. And that lien in many states may cost $5 or it may cost $15. But your covenant and declaration only allows for cost. But many times they would charge you like $100 or $125, which is the case in this DOJ case against them. They was charging $125 for the cost of filing a lien, when the cost is only $5 or $15 for you to file it at the county recorders. All right? So they were charging almost 10 times the amount of the actual cost, and the contract only allowed for cost. Okay? Which is a no-no. Secondly, I want y'all to understand and hear me closely. When these third-party debt collectors and these national banking associations send these debts to the debt collector hires an attorney, and that attorney sues you, they will sue you for the alleged amount due and owing on the debt, and they will sue you for sometimes three times as much in attorney's fees. Okay? Now, they're allowed to charge you attorney's fees if, listen, they incurred that expense. But in 9 times out of 10, they never incurred that expense. Why? Because they will sell it to the third-party debt collector, and that attorney will take that case pro bono and say, not a problem, we'll just get the attorney fees from the consumer. And they will write up their complaint and say that, you know, the debt is $5,000 you owe to the credit card company or the mortgage company. There's interest and penalties due of $500. And then attorney fees of $10,000. Right? And they're going to judgment against you for that total amount. So let's say you owed $5,000 allegedly to a debt collector. Let's say you had $5,000 in cost. All right? That's $10,000. And they say they're going to charge you $10,000 in attorney fees to sue you on the debt. And they get a judgment for $20,000 on you. The violation in there is that the homeowners association did not incur that charge, meaning the homeowners association didn't pay that attorney $10,000 in attorney fees. So he can't collect a charge that wasn't incurred by the debt collector, or in this case, the homeowners association. So if it only cost them $5 to file a lien, they can only charge you $5. If they never paid the attorney nothing, then they can't charge you attorney's fees. I'm telling you, they do that in every case. So what's the simple question? Show me documentation, wire transfers, canceled checks that demonstrates that you paid that attorney those $10,000 in attorney's fees, and they cannot do it. Because the attorney just mainly takes the case and say, don't worry about it, I'll get the attorney fees from them. They cannot do that. That's not what the contract reads. It's not a cost that they incurred. Similar to the debt collectors will charge you fees that you don't owe pursuant to the contract. So the Justice Department goes on to tell the court that the fraudulent liens and false notices are in fact false claims. Y'all heard of the False Claims Act? False claims made by defendant homeowners association and the debt collectors. So the Justice Department goes on to tell you how they did it. And these are the masters at law, are they not? So just read what they say. This is how they said the homeowners association, collectively with the banks, along with the debt collectors and the attorneys, committed the fraud against the government. Upon information and belief, defendant homeowners association entered into agreements with defendant third-party debt collection agencies to provide collection services to the defendant homeowners associations for the collection of past due assessment obligations of the government owners. The debt collectors are the authorized agents for the defendant homeowners association and perform debt collection services at the direction of the defendant homeowners associations. However, pursuant to the collection agreements, how do you think they got the collection agreements? Debt collectors do not charge, bill, or collect from the defendant homeowners association any collection fees and costs, but instead bill to and collect from the government owners all such collection fees and costs. Did I not just say that? So here the DOJ is telling you that the homeowners association never incurred those costs. Those costs were fabricated by the debt collectors, which is what they do in your foreclosure and your debt collection activities. As a matter of law and contract, defendant homeowners association may not charge to a unit homeowner, such as the government owners, collection fees and costs, which have not been actually incurred by the defendant homeowner associations. Do y'all understand that? Y'all got that? I don't care who you are. That greed is going to catch up with you. Here they got so comfortable filing these false liens and thought the government was just going to write them a check, and they did for a long time. But as you know, all good things must come to an end. And some of them, homeowners association attorneys, some of the people that were involved decided to end their life rather than come up against the DOJ. So I wanted to share that with you about homeowners association. Check your declaration, check your fees, check your notice provisions, see who's coming after you. If it's a management company and they're the go-between, see if they are governed by the FDCPA. I beat the snot out of a homeowners association and settled with them. Why? They don't send out proper notices. They charge $125 for a $5 lien cost. They might charge you a title search. These mortgage companies charge you $500 when it costs $100. Read your deed. Read your mortgage. What does it entitle them to? There was a case out of New York where an attorney was charging them $8,000 for a foreclosure. I was able to provide documentation that said, listen, Fannie Mae only provide $1,250 for foreclosure. How are you charging $8,000, and where is that agreeable or consummated in the mortgage agreement? So y'all know what the results of that was. All right. Let's go into some other cases about FDCPA. Some of the people out there, some of the gurus or some of the leaders seem to think that these are meatball cases, meaning that they really have no significance. There are some groups out there that does a great job at bringing you information, and there's some out there that do a horrible job at bringing you information. I want to explain this. Although we will talk about the liability statute contained in these consumer protection laws, and you may see $1,000, that is the meatball cost that is involved. Your substantial cost or your substantial liability is in your actual damages and putative damages. Some groups and sites just have you focus on, well, just file a lawsuit and settle for a couple of $1,000s. I mean, I'm not understanding. I wouldn't even file a lawsuit for $1,000. Are you serious? For $1,000? Why do you think these cases are in federal court? For $1,000? So I don't know where some of these gurus get this trend of thought from. The $1,000 is just the statutory damages. But actual damages, for example, intentional infliction of emotional distress, anxiety, insomnia, are some of the damages that puts you in the tens, hundreds, and in some cases, millions of dollars, as you've seen in some of the information I shared with you this week. This is no meatball lawsuit. That's why you shouldn't be filing it if you don't know what you're doing. And this is why I share with you that you can get an attorney, and you should. Because those consumer protection laws allow for you to get one without paying them upfront money, meaning that they can get their attorney fees, and they normally will, if they see merit in your case as a prevailing party, they will get those fees from the defendant. Why do you think Matt Weiner decided that might be a good idea? For those of you on the email list, I shared with you an article of a man in Florida that the debt collectors were trying to collect an $800 debt, and he won $125,000. But $100,000 of it was attorney's fees. Still not a bad day. Good day for the attorneys. And if you don't know what you're doing, let them make their $100,000. Stop filing these lawsuits if you don't know what you're doing. These are not meatball cases. Let's talk about punitive damages. Do you know what punitive damage is? Punitive damages is intended to punish the defendant for egregious or malicious behavior. It's not necessarily to reward the plaintiff, although it does. These are not just $2,000, $3,000 cases. So you have some groups out there that are just like, yeah, just give me $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, man, and I'll just go away. If that's enough for you, then fine. But you're overlooking what? Why do you think these attorneys fight you tooth and nail? There are some people out there that are peeling FDCPA cases. Why do you think the attorneys are fighting you? For the $1,000? Use your head. They're fighting you for the potential actual and punitive damages based upon their conduct. And let me make you understand this. The FDCPA and FCRA and TCPA is about conduct and behavior. It's not about the debt. It's about conduct and behavior. It's not necessarily about the debt. Now, I'll give you another example of conduct. You driving a car, not putting your blinkers on. That's conduct, right? You doing a U-turn, and you're not supposed to, right? You touching the yellow line with your car. Isn't that a very lucrative business for the state, for the law enforcement community? What is it? It's just human conduct. It's behavior. You might have forgot. You didn't hurt anybody. You didn't injure anybody. But they will gladly write you a ticket for $200. Just because you touched the yellow line with your conveyance. I don't want True Freeman to knock me upside the head if I say motor vehicle. That's just an example. So conduct-type statutes, behavior-type statutes are always lucrative. You arguing with someone, you getting angry with someone is about your conduct as a person. It's about your behavior as a person. It pays well, doesn't it? Because you can be arrested for your conduct and behavior. They don't give a damn about the violation of the law. It's the liability of statute attached to the conduct and behavior. When you're in school, you get put in time out. Because of your conduct and behavior, you might be the smartest one in the class. But the teacher will give you a 50 on your test because of your conduct and behavior. So, this holds true with debt collectors. Their conduct and behavior, what you say, how you say it, when you say it, where you say it, how you write it, what words you use. Whether it was understandable, whether it was easily discerned by the least sophisticated consumer. If you can't beat a debt collector on conduct and behavior, you can't beat anybody. That's why the FDCPA uses terminology like threatening, harassment, abuse. That's not about the debt, is it? It's about the conduct and behavior. That's what you have to understand. And that's what the Congress meant when they enacted these protections in the 1970s. All right, let's talk about a couple of cases here. Let's talk about mortgage and foreclosure, because I've gotten a couple of emails that, you know, people, you know, the naysayers or the people that don't read. And blessed is those that read of Revelation 1 and 3. And read with understanding. People are saying that mortgage and foreclosure is not debt collection. It all depends. I never told you it was. When I speak, I don't speak to every particular case. What I say doesn't apply to every situation. You all get that concept from dealing with gurus, that they give you one document and you think you can use it for everything in your life. You actually have to read. You actually have to be able to audit and discern your own situation and determine whether you're dealing with a debt collector or a creditor. Sometimes you are dealing with a creditor, and I've said that. Sometimes you're dealing with a debt collector, and I've said that. So, let's look at it. Is mortgage foreclosure debt collection? Well, you have to, first of all, look in your state, in your district, in your circuit, and see how your courts have ruled. All of this needs to be done before you file a freaking lawsuit. There is research that goes into this. So I'm going to pick a case for you that should be pretty easy to understand. Okay? And I'll tell you what the courts say about foreclosure and whether it's debt collection. There's a case that is out there. You can Google it because, as you know, with Brother Sharif, I don't have anything hidden in my shack. All right? You don't have to push a code in to get the information. So there's a case, Glazer, Glazer, versus Chase Home Finance. It is a Sixth Circuit case. Out of foreclosure, you don't even know what circuit you're in. Sixth, the ninth, the third. All right? And this case came out last June. I don't care what anybody say. Life is more fair when you have knowledge and education. Life is more fair when you have knowledge and education. When you don't, you're going to be crapped out about everything. You think everything is corrupt. You're in a defensive posture all the time. You doubt everything. You're naysaying. You have no knowledge. And it's funny how the priests talk about you ball-headed, because I had that written down right here. Y'all know what ball-headed mean? Meaning you have no strength and no knowledge. So you should have time to pull up that case. And this is what the court says about this court, Sixth Circuit, okay, says about foreclosure and debt collection. And if you're on the email list, you have it. And if you haven't read it, don't call and ask any questions. I give you things to read and understand. And it reads as thus. Last June, the Sixth Circuit decided that a law firm could be liable under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act for stating the wrong identity of the mortgage owner in a foreclosure complaint. In effect, the Sixth Circuit held that a pre-assignment foreclosure filing, could violate the FDCPA. Okay? In Glazer versus Chase Home Finance, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, okay, appellate court, and many of you will have to go there. You think because you file a case in a lower, you know, some of these lower courts are gatekeepers. They test your knowledge. They test your proficiency. They're supposed to test you, which is why some of the gurus up there said, oh, man, we tried that, and, man, that didn't work. You got tested. Are you proficient? No. Think you're going to go in there and just say a couple of words because I say it and pre-say it that your $200,000 or your $10,000 or $20,000 debt is going to disappear? Think again. So I'm going to read this right quick. We have 12 minutes left in the live stream. Those of you that are listening in the chat, you have to call in, or I believe show hosts, and I give props to show hosts, you have to refresh the chat in order to continue listening. But you need to call in 424-222-5250, all right, in order to continue listening, all right? So I'm going to go into it. So The Sixth Court of Appeals elected not to follow the adopted, the view adopted by the majority of other districts. So Ninth District, you know, they have their own case. There's a couple of cases out there that says that, yes, foreclosure is debt collection. Law firms can be held liable. Servicers can be debt collectors. You have to know when it applies. So what they said was, and I'll get to the crux of it, what happened was this consumer, all right, and that's what I use instead of borrower, consumer, because the purchase of a house is for personal family purposes, all right? That's what it is. So defining the FDCPA, that's what it says. So what happened was the consumer closed on a loan, and there was an assignment that we always talk about, okay? And let me just let y'all know, the Sixth Circuit covers Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Tennessee, all right? So what happened was there was an assignment to Fannie Mae, and the assignment was not recorded, meaning that the homeowner had no indication where the loan was, and sometimes MERS don't even know where the damn loan is. So, in other words, you got a violation because I'm telling you 9.5 times out of 10, those assignments are going to give you the bulk of your damages in a consumer violation, such as erroneous documentation. All right? So later that year, Chase hired an attorney to initiate foreclosure proceedings, and the assignment went to Fannie Mae. How they didn't know that, they never do. They can't keep up with the paperwork. They can't keep up with anything. They can't keep their lives straight. They can't come up with an accounting. They can't tell you what you owe to a penny. They can't tell you where the debt came from. They can't tell you how MERS ever had a note and assigned it. I mean, they can't tell you what valuable consideration is. They can't tell you any of that because you didn't ask. All right? So as part of the referral, the law firm prepared, listen to me closely, the law firm prepared an assignment, which many times they will do, okay? Now, many of you are going to say, well, then the law firm did the assignment. That's not what it said. And let me tell you how you have to understand words. What the court says was the law firm prepared the assignment. Now, if I prepare something and give it to you and you use it for a wrong reason, am I liable? When you buy a firearm from the gun manufacturer and you take that gun and you use it in a deadly way, in a manner that causes an injury, Is the firearm company liable? No. No different if you go in your kitchen and take a knife and cut your throat. Are you going to sue the knife company? No.
Most of your gurus are jumping and say, yeah, man, the lawyer, man, yeah, he did the assignment. He's the one who fabricated the assignment. That's not what he said. It says the law firm prepared an assignment that purported to transfer and assign the note and mortgage from J.P. Morgan to Chase. Understand that there was an assignment already done that wasn't recorded where it was already signed to Fannie. Now, do y'all hear this nonsense? These are governmental agencies. These are legal outfits. These are national banking associations that don't even know their left from their right hand, which is where you benefit with your consumer protections. So the law firm prepared an assignment. It didn't say they executed the assignment. They said they prepared it. And normally what happens is the attorney firms will prepare the assignment. They can prepare anything they want. These gurus will prepare documents for you, and you're taking it in court, and you're using it, and your ass will go to jail. You going to blame the guru? Or you think they're going to care and be like, well, we don't care who prepared that. You're the idiot that came in here with the documentation.
talking about you this and you that and 1933, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. All right, 19 and AD 20, you understand? You know what I'm talking about. And they're going to lock you up because you were dumb enough to, first of all, not read it, and you came in there with it signed in your name, not the guru. So anyway, they prepared the assignment, and they sent it off to the lender. And the lender put their robo-sign or signature on it and put their stuff on, put their notarization on it. A lot of times those are fraudulent, and they recorded it. Now, is the attorney liable because he prepared the assignment? No, he didn't sign it. His client said, prepare the document, send it to us, we will execute it. It is not anything until there is a signature affixed to it. So, no, the attorney didn't do anything wrong. So, anyway, the attorney prepared the assignment of the note and the mortgage to J.P. Morgan Chase. The assignment, however, transferred absolutely no rights because Fannie Mae still owned the note and the mortgage by virtue of the other assignment. Many of y'all are in a position where these assignments transferred absolutely no interest, Layla, in the mortgage. Layla has three assignments, two done by MERS and one done by some debt collector. So how do you think that's going to go? It went from MERS to somebody, then MERS sent it out again to somebody. You think they're going to be able to demonstrate, first of all, that you ever had a note, MERS? Second of all, that you sent the note and the mortgage out to somebody, and then you did another assignment a year later? Well, can you prove that they sent it back to you and you sent it back out? This is the kind of nonsense y'all don't pick up on and the gurus don't pick up on. They want to focus on the robo-signer. I don't give a damn. You know what? As a matter of fact, when I sue them, I'm going to give the robo-signer a tip because I'm glad they signed those documents because that's the document I'm going to use to get my actual punitive damages. Y'all need to be grateful for some of these clowns. All right. So in the 2008 complaint that the attorneys wrote, Chase attorneys filed a foreclosure complaint in state court and alleged that Chase held and owned the note. The complaint further stated that the original note had been lost or destroyed. Now, I'm telling y'all, this happens all the time. They'll have an assignment saying they transferred the note and the mortgage a month before, and then in court in their complaint, they'll say, well, it's lost or stolen. Really? This is really a game. Y'all really, that's why I say your spirit has to be right, because you really can't get angry. When you have the requisite knowledge, you will smile. You will laugh. You will see offense, not defense. According to the plaintiff, however, Chase was not the owner and holder of the note, and the original note had not been lost or destroyed. Rather, Fannie Mae owned the note, and the original was in possession of a third party that was acting as a custodian. Okay? So what the Sixth Circuit is saying is that, Mr. Law Firm, you can be held liable for erroneous statements of fact contained in a complaint. Many of you have those jewels right in front of you. But your gurus are going to, you know, cut and paste some documents and do a response and an objection and all that kind of stuff, and they overlook the jewels that is in the complaint. Wholly based on hearsay, by the way. So in this case, the court goes on to talk about the FDCPA only applies to debt collectors. In turn, the term debt collector consists of a general definition followed by a number of exceptions. All right? A debt collector, if it began servicing a loan when it was current, they're not a debt collector necessarily. You still have to do your research. Just because they say it was sold while it was not in default, this is where I say some of the auditing services out there will come into play. You still need to research whether the loan was sold into some secondary market. But you don't need a $3,000, $5,000, 200, 300-page article to make that determination. 60 seconds left. You need to call in 424-222-5250. The claims against the Chase attorneys were dismissed because the district court followed the view that foreclosure is not debt collection. A lot of times, the district court is going to do that. Oh, that's not debt collection. That's foreclosure. So for those of you that asked that question, go read the case. Therein lies your answer. The Sixth Court declined to follow, the Sixth Circuit, rather, declined to follow this view, even though it represents that held by the majority of the district court. Instead, the Sixth Circuit noted that whether an obligation is a debt, I want y'all to listen closely to what I'm about to say. Won't you listen real closely? And when you get an opportunity to go into archives and download this show, I want you to listen to this part 3, 5, or 7 times. This is what the court said, not what Brother Sharif said, but what I do say. Okay? The Sixth Circuit noted that whether an obligation is a debt depends not on whether the obligation is secured, for those of you that say, well, they're just enforcing their lien interest. In other words, an in rem action. So the court is saying whether an obligation is a debt depends not on whether the obligation is secured, but rather upon the purpose for which it was incurred. Thus, if a purpose of an activity taken in relation to a debt is to obtain payment of the debt, the activity is properly considered debt collection. Okay? Do you understand the words, as Eddie Murphy said in the movie, do you understand the words coming out my mouth? I'm going to say it one more again for those of you in the country. One more again. Obligation is a debt depends not on whether the obligation is secured. For you lien people or want to say, well, it's a lien, it's secured, but rather upon the purpose for which it was incurred, for personal, family purposes, debt collection. Okay, for those of you, 1692A5, that's where you will find that language. That's what the court means. Depend on whether the obligation is secured, but rather upon the purpose for which it was incurred. Thus, if a purpose of an activity taken, which foreclosure is an activity, is a debt collection activity. So, if the purpose of an activity taken in relation to a debt is to obtain payment, are they not trying to obtain payment? Meaning that even if they do an in-rent action and foreclose, are they not trying to sell that property to recover some certain amount based on your debt? Yes, in my opinion. So they're saying that the purpose of the activity taken in relation to a debt is to obtain payment of the debt, then the activity is properly considered debt collection. Don't call me with that question. I didn't say it. Read it for yourself. So relying on this reasoning, the Sixth Circuit concluded that regardless of whether a money judgment is sought, mortgage foreclosure is debt collection under the FDCPA. Okay? I don't need to read any further. If you want to read another case about how these complaints that are drafted by these firms, law firms, can subject them to liability under the FDCPA, read another case that was prior to this case. And that's Wallace versus Washington Mutual Bank. Wallace, W-A-L-L-A-C-E. If you're on my email contact list, you have that case. In that case, the same circuit, the Sixth Circuit, and let me tell y'all something, Ohio is a great state. It is a judicial state, and the Supreme Court and the appellate courts have been giving the debt collectors and the banks the business. All right? So in that Wallace case, the Sixth Circuit also, again, held that a law firm could be subject to FDCPA liability for stating the wrong identity of the mortgage owner in a foreclosure complaint. The Wallace and the Glazier cases, for you folks out there, illustrate, in my opinion, how important it is to recognize and appreciate the distinction between servicing a loan and being a party to a lawsuit. And this distinction becomes even more important when the subject matter of a lawsuit is a consumer transaction. Stop calling it a loan or a borrower, or stop saying a note in a mortgage. Just say a consumer transaction, which is covered by the FDCPA. All right? Now, I shared that information for your knowledge, and even for some of those that are advanced, for some of the leaders out there and some of the intelligent people that is just coming into this information. It can be confusing. It can be mind-boggling to understand the differences, because you'll be in some states in California, it'll say, well, no, mortgage is not debt collection. And then you'll get over here in the Sixth Circuit, and then the Ninth Circuit will say something else. You have to do your research, okay? You have to know this inside to be able to navigate. They're not going to make it easy for you to just file one piece of paper or say one line and get rid of your $500,000 or $500 debt. You need to earn it. You need to study. You need to put in the time. You need to get off the TV. So that covers your debt collectors, your law firms, your banks, your third-party debt collectors, your costs, your fees, okay? I promise you this contumacious behavior is rampant in all of your debt collection activities. Again, I cannot say this enough. The FDCPA is about behavior and conduct, okay? Are you a 1692A3? Are you dealing with a 1692A4? Are they collecting a 1692A5? Are they a 1692A6? Don't come on the show asking questions unless you know the meaning of those statutes. You haven't studied enough. You want to come and just get answers, but even if I give you the answers, you still can't do anything with it because you haven't studied. Any false representation, any misrepresentation of the character amount of the debt, threat to take any action against you, I don't care if it's your cable company or the alleged mortgagee, which many times they are not. Why? Because they're not a creditor pursuant to 1692A4. They didn't lend you anything. They got an assignment of the debt, 1692A5. They didn't create any obligation for you. So any false misrepresentation, you can find violations. You can read 1692E. Any harassment or abuse, you can read 1692D. Any advertising or sale of any debt, you can read 1692D. Any false misrepresentation or deceptive means to collect the debt, you can read 1692E. Any amount charged, as I spoke about in the Homeowners Association case, any charge like that, any expense that is not expressly authorized in these contracts is a violation of 1692F. Play that mortgagee mortgagor game in court if you want. Matt Winder told you these state courts are, in part, corrupt, because you're playing the wrong game. Any threatening to take your property in any non-judicial fashion is a violation of 1692F. Any validation you request, 1692G, that they don't fulfill. Any assignments, any substitution of trustee, notice of defaults are deceptive forms under 1692J. Y'all better read And for all you people out there, let me cover this right quick. All of y'all talk about the note and the note, and they don't have the note. Yeah, you can ask for the note. I don't give a damn about the note. Because what people are under the misconception is that the note has some merit. It does, but very little merit, because I just told you that the consumer protection laws is about conduct and behavior. So I don't care if you have a brand new crispy green leaking ink note in your hand, I'm going to find some violations in your conduct about the way you served me that note, or you told me you had that note, or you told me when you had that note, or you told me who had that note, or you don't have a chain of title that demonstrates that you ever had that note. Now, does a note make a damn difference? So let me say this to all you note requesters.
I didn't have the original note.
All right, that sounds cool. But let me go on and say this to you. And the gurus and the leaders and the groups and everybody that is trying to understand debt. The note is not the debt. I'm going to say it again. The note is not the debt. The note is only evidence of the debt and the terms of repayment. That's all a note has on it. Read it. Okay? But it is not a substitute for the actual transactional documents. So they can have the note. They got to show me how they got the note. Chain of title. How you got the note, what you paid for the note, when did you get the note, whether you followed the law. So just because you have the note, that don't mean a damn thing. So that having the note is not a substitute for the actual transactional documents. The debt collector would have to include proof of transfer of consideration. Now, I already told you, and I don't think anybody has ever brought that out. Again, I'm being humble. I'm not exalting myself. But nobody's ever broken down what valuable consideration means. So along with bringing a note, you people are not asking for the balance of documentation that is needed in order to them to remotely prove a debt exists. And that's proof of transfer of consideration, which means transfer receipts and wire transfer instructions. I already told you they can print notes. Me and Yusef can print notes. You understand? And come in there and take your house by saying, you see that note? I can put your signature on a $1,000 bill. We are in the technology age. Don't get it twisted. This is why you see that when some educated people start to not only proffer affirmative defenses, but as we teach you here, offense. When you start asking them these questions, as a wise old attorney once said, and I don't know where I got it from, but I heard it years ago, he said, Sharif, if the facts are on your side, argue the facts. If the law is on your side, argue the law. If neither is on your side, attack the damn plaintiff or the defendant or the messenger, which sometimes I get. I get attacked for bringing the message to the people. Not on substance, so-called character assassination, which you can't even engage me in that. So when they don't have nothing else to talk about, when you start asking the right questions in court, then they're going to start attacking you.
Well, are you an attorney? How do you know this information? What are you doing here?
You know, some of these attorneys actually get offended when you know something. I'll share a story with you next week on that. You're going to absolutely crack up when you go in there and you're poised. Like Priest said, you got the right spirit. You're not afraid. You're not in prison. You don't have fear. You have knowledge. You have education. And then you have spirituality. That's why the priest is walking around now, able to be on this show and talk to you. He wasn't scared. And they knew that. All right, I'm going to try to go to the call lines. I'm going to try to see if Mac McCall is here. I know he had problems with his phone. He was trying to call in on Skype. We may not or may not have him again. but I'm going to try to get to the call lines to get 45 minutes. Understand you have to know the federal rules of civil procedure in order for you to take any case in a federal court. For all of you that do not know the federal rules, and you also have to know the local rules of procedure. Okay? For those of you that don't know that and you file the case, dismiss it immediately. I want to say one other thing. I spoke to someone, and I won't call any names, that had filed an FDCPA lawsuit, didn't know what they were doing, and they were mad at the judge because the judge dismissed their case with prejudice. Okay? I want to say this to y'all, and I'll say this again. Some of these clerks in the court will not allow you to file some of this stupid documents y'all be filing, all kind of booty print paperwork and acceptance of the deed and this thing and that thing, and y'all get mad at the clerk because she don't allow y'all to file that garbage because she know you, it might land your butt in jail. So y'all start to fight the clerk. Oh, man, the clerk, she's hiding it. She's hiding it, buddy. I'm telling you, she's hiding the law. They don't want us to know, man. A lot of times these clerks trying to save your ignorant tails, okay? Really, honestly. A lot of times these judges, when they dismiss your case with prejudice, they trying to save your tail. Why? Just like I had to tell a client last week. Boy, he dismissed my case with prejudice, Brother Shreve. Well, I'm looking at your complaint. He should have. Why? Why? Because the alternative is to charge you behind attorney fees for you bringing a case that you don't even know how to bring. You rather get hit with those $20,000, $30,000 in attorney fees at that company, that debt. I don't care if they're a debt collector. They have no right to incur costs of you filing a complaint and you don't know what the heck you're doing. Why should you cost them money? So the judge did you a favor by dismissing your complaint with prejudice because he's telling you don't bring it again because you don't know what the heck you're doing. If I would allow you to bring it again, I'm going to hit you with the – you want me to dismiss you with prejudice or hit you with these attorney's fees for you bringing a complaint and you don't know what you're doing? Maybe it was not done in bad faith, but it was done on bad information, on lack of knowledge. You file a case and say, hey, man, they removed my case to district court, man. What do I do? What do you do? I've already told you, you don't file a federal claim in a state court necessarily. You can – but the defendant has an option to remove that case to the district court. Many times they have concurrent jurisdiction over those claims, so don't do it unless you're prepared to go into the federal court, meaning that the federal rules of procedure and the local rules apply to that action, and you have to know both. And many of you do, most of you don't. That's why you need to take your butt after you educate yourself and go to an attorney. You know, the gurus and the leaders out there tell you to hate the attorneys. Why are you hating them? Because they decided to be educated. Why are you hating them? They got a job to do. They got a business. If you're not in the business of educating yourself, look, that and their job is to pick up the slack, oh, well. That's your fault. Nobody's stopping you from being educated. You got the internet these days. Nobody is stopping you from being educated. There are no excuses. There are no victims. Y'all want to file criminal complaints against the debt collectors, and it's right in front of your face they're a damn debt collector and what they can do and what they can't do. And the FDCPA is 10 pages, and you want to file a 10-page criminal complaint. Why don't you just read the FDCPA and get some money from them? Doggone. All right, let's go to the line. Y'all got questions, 424-222-5250. Keep your questions on base. Don't ask no crazy questions. I'm not saying all of them are crazy, but if you haven't read and you haven't studied, we can't stay in the infant position too long. We have to get to the point where we're demonstrating, we're taking action, we're discussing strategies and tactics, how to do things properly. So let's let the questions be questions that will take you from one position to another. I know it's frustrating. I know you're dealing with recidivist conduct of these debt collectors, but they're getting away with it because you're not reading. You're not studying, and you're too anxious to run in there because you're so retaliatory. You want to go in and engage somebody in an atmosphere that they dwell in, where they do what they do every single day, 8 to 10 hours a day, 5 to 7 days a week, and you think you can listen to one show or read 10 pages and you can go in there and win. You might scare them away, but let me tell you what you're going to have with foreclosure. Sure, you might send them a couple of letters. And people on this call came on the call and said, look, I had success just sending out a couple of letters for the Sharif share with me. Yeah, that happens. But in a foreclosure, you think you scare them away? You ain't scaring nothing. Because they can assign, allegedly, those alleged mortgages and notes more times than there are calendar days in the year. That means that's a new, fresh entity and a new, fresh attorney group, and they're going to wear your butt down. Why? Because you don't have the knowledge. All right? They don't wear me down. They don't wear people that are students of this particular ministry. They don't wear them down because we make money off of them at each and every turn. Like Layla said, look, I got a gift today. Unsigned document. Not even recorded. 3 assignments from Merck's. Come on, y'all getting mad about that? All right, let's go to the caller line. 701-8437. You're on HOR Radio. You have a question.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tom Benson, how are you?
Tom, what's going on, my good brother?
Just studying your material like a mad dog, sir. Hey,
Tom, tell me what the information has done for you. And I'm just saying that because I always like to gauge how the information is going, whether I'm staying in a particular area too long. I have to move from the infant stages and progress into other stages where there are some advanced people that need some strategy and procedures that may drive them into a successful outcome.
Yes, sir. I've studied a lot of your material. My wife and I both are. I feel very proficient now, in your teachings. You're very easy to understand. Very easy to learn from you. you talk about all these processes. Been there, done that. I've seen 2 people who are arrested for doing the acceptance of deed.
Wow.
All these other that securitization process. I've seen that fail twice. Dismissed,
yeah.
With, you know, anyways, this information, I told Kelby, I said, Kelby, the Lord has brought us to this step with Brother Sharif. I told him just yesterday, I said, this is the final answer. I told Kelby, I said, look, I know you haven't studied this. I know you don't have time, but I'm your guy. I said, I've studied this. Brother Sharif is absolutely 100% on track. This is the final answer. This is the ultimate answer. Stopping them at the beginning. You guys are debt collectors. Stop the madness. I really appreciate you, and I promise you, we are promoting you like crazy. We have quite a few people studying your information now. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to float your boat or, whatever, but I honestly believe that this is the most important information that we've ever studied. I mean, we are applying this. We have friends that are the HOA hired Cal Weston Reconvance to foreclose on them. We sent them the letter.
Wow.
We'll continue. We know how to fight now. You've taught us how to fight. We're I just got evicted. I just got evicted from my house. And that's what I wanted to ask you a question. The alleged new owner, I wasn't even home. They evicted my wife and son. They kicked her out immediately. They called us back. They said, hey, come get your frozen food and your clothing. So we came back, and there's a truck there loading up my furniture. I said, hey, no, don't do that. I want to get my furniture. And the guy said, "Nope, we're moving it, and you can just get your clothes, and you can pack up this entire garage." And I said, "Well, I don't have money to get a truck right now for the garage. I want my stuff to stay together, and I'll take care of you later. But anyways, yeah, this has been incredible. Absolutely. I'm applying the information that you've given me to stop other foreclosures from other people, friends of ours. Everybody I know is in foreclosure. Everybody. Everybody I know has lost one, two, three, five. I know one couple, they lost 20 houses, and then they finally evicted them from their last house, and they're homeless now. And good Lord. I just can't believe how
I'm sorry to hear that, Tom, and I know you've been in the fight, and, you know, this is one of the effects of a down economy, and I acknowledge is that, you know, we allow the debt collectors to get too far down the road, and then economically we're not in a position to be able to apply a lot of the procedures that we need to. And a lot of times when you let that train get going that fast, you just can't stop them there. So, unfortunately, I have to be the bearer of bad news when I speak to a lot of people and say, listen, it's time to just move on to something else. You might be able to go back at some point, but you got to gain knowledge and education. And the creator sometimes has to, you know, you have to let go the old and come in with the new, you know. So what we're trying to do is empower the consumer. I'm going to speak. A minute, you brought up something that I definitely want to address, and that's securitization. And, you know, I got some emails from some of the, you know, securitization service providers, and they feel that I'm knocking information. I did securitization up. The information is good. But what I'm saying to people is they're sitting on their desk. People don't know how to, when to get that information to be admissible as evidence. And what these service providers and securitization auditors will say, oh, yeah, we'll do the audit and we'll give you an affidavit. Who entitles you to give an affidavit just because you said it and you're a third party that got the information from somebody else? You're not an expert. So they sell you this affidavit, and these jokers that are writing the affidavit can't even spell a lot of the times. And then when the court says, okay, well, let's say the attorney says, okay, well, I want to see this securitization person expert. I want to subpoena them to come to court. Do you think that person is coming from Virginia and you're in New York? You think he's going to, if he's subpoenaed, he's going to come to court. But that auditor is going to be pretty angry that he has to bear the expenses maybe of going there. So you better be careful filing affidavits or giving homeowners affidavits with audits, and you're not an expert, second of all. And just because you write an affidavit don't make it admissible and doesn't make it evidence. So this is the ridiculousness that I talk about, not that the audits are bad, but most of the people don't understand the audits. You have 500-600 pages of information, and you haven't read the 10 pages of your deed, or you haven't read the one assignment that will allow you to get the most damages, or you haven't read the terminology in that assignment, or you haven't read the 10 pages in the FDCPA or the FCRA, the 17 or 18 pages there, but you're spending $3,000 or $4,000 on an audit and an affidavit that is not going to do you any good, and you don't even get to the point of use it at time because you're in a non-judicial state, so unless you bring an action, it's of no good. Some of the people out there are misled to think, well, just send the servicer or send the trustee a copy of the audit and an affidavit, and they gonna run. And Tom, you've been through all of that, haven't you?
Oh yes, sir.
And it doesn't work, does it?
You know, I really thought that it would. I really thought it would. It did not. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, Tom. It's funny you say that because I speak to a lot of people that did the accept the deed or whatever this process. And, you know, I find it very, very, very interesting and very sad at the same time that when I talk to these people, they really believe in it. I'm serious. I talked to one person from New York, and I had a husband and wife on a consultation, and they were talking to me like they just discovered America. It was like, no, I did the accepted deed process, and I filed it in the county, and I have it stamped and notarized. And I'm like, wow. And I just had to take back, and I was silent. They said, are you there? I said, I'm here, but I'm really disheveled at the fact that you really think you did something that's correct. And you can't file it in any law book, and you can't and you sitting up here, and they talk about it like it took care of all their problems, but you're on the phone with me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Keep it up. You know, you're over there with a great. Go ahead, Tom.
No, no. I was just going to say, I personally know two people who, I promise you, they, one guy is still fighting it, and he's got a fantastic job. He's a manager for the warehouses in L.A., and he was arrested $450,000 bail for filing an acceptance of deed. And yes, they are coming after him. Well, he did something else too. He filed a Title 42 action against a judge.
There you go. There you go. That's the other one that the gurus preach. There you go. Those Title 42 cases. I have people telling me they did that. I'm just like, what in the world are you doing filing a Title 42 case? And I know some of the gurus that's pushing this nonsense and getting these people in trouble doing that. And I know some of the gurus that are pushing this accepted deed and all that other garbage. And you got this man on a $450,000 bill. And let me tell you something else, Tom. This is not to you. This is some of the elders out there in the nation or some of the people that are elderly, or even some of the gurus and leaders. Some of you are filing some of that same documentation talking about satisfactions of mortgages, and you did it yourself. And it's a poor copy. It's cut and pasted. The lining is off. I know a bank didn't file that in the county recorder. And you're recording these instruments in a county, which is the keepers of records. And that document is going to be in there forever, meaning that if they ever get slow with locking you people up for these kind of stupid things that they're doing, if they ever get slow, they just got to go through the county recorder and get a whole another wave of criminal indictments against you for filing your own satisfaction of mortgages and all this other garbage. This is ridiculous.
I know a guy who's in jail right now for doing that.
I'm telling you, somebody was going to come on my show and talk about that, and I'm looking at the documentation. I'm like, I'm not going to even bring you on the show because I will embarrass you, because I'm looking at your documentation and you're promoting this, and you're telling me that is what you're saying released you from your obligation, and you put it in the county. Listen, I would go down to the county if I was this person, and you know who I'm talking about. I would go down to the county clerk and take her out to dinner or give her $10,000 or $20,000 to get that document out of there. Because that document, the way you're advertising it, is going to land your butt in jail. It's ridiculous.
You cannot
take care of these things by doing it yourself. That is not the way commerce works, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. And definitely you should be taking that information and spreading it amongst the people and having them doing it. But again, this is what I tell y'all. When I read to you in the Glazier case versus Chase, the attorney said, I prepared a document for my client. And they executed it. They put the stamp on it. They put the signature on it. So the gurus is giving you this documentation. You're not reading it, and you're putting your name on it, and you're going to get it notarized, and then you taking your little butt down to the county and paying the $10 or $20 to have your evidence of your criminality put into the county recorder, and then you're mad at the clerks when they don't want to file it because they're trying to save your butt from going to jail.
You're right.
Ridiculous, Tom. I'm glad you're coming around. I love his advocates. I love Kelby. I love the job that they're doing over there. We're going to work together collectively to bring whatever information HOR has to bring. We're here for you guys. We don't care. We don't care who you are. If you're trying to uplift the people, we're for you. So keep up the good work, Tom. Thank you for the call. Thank you for being a constant listener. And we're gonna call me. I told you call me last week, but call me. Let me see where you're at and whether we can help you further. But you're on the right path, and I know the information is working. I know the information is good. I don't have to speak for the information. It speaks for itself.
It does.
Peace and blessings, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We love you over here. All right. Y'all got to understand, I'm passionate about the people. He just told you, people going to jail. All right? I talk about these processes on this show. I don't care who you are. I'm a vanguard of the people. H-O-R is a vanguard of the people. I got Brother Elishua on the line that knows about adverse possession. He did it legally and spent almost 2 years in jail. Yes, he walked out. But if he had to do it again, do you think he would do it again? You understand? Y'all have to, this is why spiritual foundation is so important. This is why having the right mindset and doing things for the right reason, even if you can get away with things, you have to have morality. A lot of people on this call work every day. Do you think you should go just snatch a house and file two documents, even if you could? What would that do to the system? Some of you have jobs because there is commerce. Some of you have jobs because there is credit. Why don't you just learn the law and the rules and contract law instead of trying to be a con artist and get out of your debts by filing some except you gonna accept a deed that got more defects in it than I mean, how did they come up with the name? Let me go to the line. Let me just go on. 718-0885, 718-0885. You're on HOR Radio. Do you have a question?
Greetings, brother. I do. I have an aunt in her 80s, and she had filed bankruptcy back in 98. And after her bankruptcy was over, they came after her, and they was able to get a judgment. So I was wondering, I have the letter from the attorney claiming that they are a debt collector, and I was wondering, is there anything I could do?
Well,
hello? Okay.
Yes, sir. I can't give you any legal advice, and I really think if you did a proper bankruptcy, you always have grounds to go back to your bankruptcy attorney, but if those debts, by and large, were discharged in the bankruptcy, then that's a violation of the permanent injunction. And they can't collect if it was discharged. Now, if it's a debt that she incurred after bankruptcy, then that's a legitimate debt. Okay, so
right.
it was a debt that was, you sure, was discharged in the bankruptcy?
I don't know. I never asked her about that. Okay. But she claimed that she had filed bankruptcy in 98 from a particular creditor. And then another creditor, after the fact, I guess purchased her debt or whatever. And they filed paperwork to get a judgment against her in 2006, but we're now just receiving a letter from the lawyer on behalf of the purchaser of the debt, original debt, or from the original debt.
Well, you got to look at a few things. You have to look at statute of limitations. What I'm thinking is maybe your mother's forgetting the fact that maybe she did bankruptcy in 1998, but she incurred some debts after 1998. I don't see them coming after you for a debt that's 8 years old, although it happens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a debt that might not have been discharged in the bankruptcy, and she has a legitimate debt. So you have to do your research and see if it's a debt collector, who they're collecting for, and, you know, go ahead and read your 15 U.S.C. 1692. Also check your credit report pursuant to 1681 and see if they're reporting the debt. See if there's some adverse information as it relates to how much they're asking you for. Maybe in a letter they're asking you for $1,000. Maybe on the credit report they're saying $1,200. You understand what I mean?
Well, the credit report is less what the letter's asking for. And also they're claiming that it says here that they're going to subpoena her bank account for information.
Subpoena? Have they sued her?
Well, again, there was a judgment made against her, so I'm assuming they filed where they took her to court. She never answered it. And they got a judgment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm not sure, and I'll say at the top of my head, you can't subpoena somebody unless there's this open litigation going on. They can't subpoena anything. What they can do is garnish her wages or find out any assets.
Well, she's retired. I mean, she's 80. She's 82. So
I understand, brother.
Saying
I understand.
Since
they
can't collect on her pension or insurance, they're going to try and go after her bank account.
Yeah,
be advised that we have served an information subpoena on the above institution on behalf of our client in order to assist them in satisfying the judgment entered against you in this matter. So there is a court case. I'm going to have to research the case number, But I was wondering, is there possibly any violations in the FDCPA based on what I just said?
All right. Well, that's a loaded question, my brother. I don't know. I don't see any of your documentation. If you're telling me it's a 2006 case, if it's an open case, they can subpoena. They can't subpoena forever. Okay,
right.
They can't subpoena with a closed case. So if subpoenaing, I don't know. I would have to see everything you have in order for me to make that determination. So you need to know. You need to get some more information on when my mother got that case, what debt it is. Look up the debt, see if there's an open case. Don't be afraid to ask questions of the attorney, the debt collector. If she's judgment-proof, meaning that she has certain retirement and funds that cannot be garnished, then she's fine. You need to make sure she don't have any bank accounts with any money in it, that she put, you know, her do some bank accounts or transition her money from her personal to maybe a trust or an LLC or something like that, so they can't get a hold of her personal assets. And then start doing your investigation on the judgment. How was it obtained? Was she served properly? Was she served at the appropriate address? Statute of limitations. You got to do some research, brother. You know, then you can go see an attorney and maybe look into a bankruptcy option. I can't tell you that, but those are options that you have. And maybe option, if she did BK in 1998, I would think she would be able to do it again if that's necessary. And it depends on how much the debt is, you know. So, there's a lot of things you got to look into, but hopefully that gives you some direction.
Sure. And just for the people listening, if there's a judgment made, usually that's it, right? You just got to handle the judgment, right? Or is there still things that you could look into the FDCPA and try to negate the judgment?
There's a certain amount of time even after judgment that you can do a notice of dispute, or you can ask for some information about the debt. You can still ask for that. You're still within that time. I think you're still within that time frame, depending on when you got that letter. Sounds like they're coming after you now, so just ask them some questions. When did you obtain the judgment? Who was it? Who was the creditor? Yada, yada, yada. Do your investigation, and then I'll be able to get you some direction. But just email me at debtshow@yahoo.com, and we'll go further. All right?
Okay, brother. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Peace. All right. Let me open up Layla's line. I just got your line open. Let me go to 336-5779 on HR Radio. Do you have a question? 336-5779. All right. We're moving on. Let's go to 978-7324. You're on HOR Radio. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you. This is Jim in Massachusetts.
Jim, how are you doing, sir?
A friend of mine recently turned me on to your information and call, and I've been doing a lot of listening and note-taking, unfortunately, with my mom being in recent health issues with strokes has really distracted me. Unfortunately, I have a notice of mortgage foreclosure sale that I want to stop, obviously, and wondering, I have to, I guess, do an injunction to stop them?
Yeah. You know, first of all, I thank you for your support and listening, and hopefully we're providing you some direction and information and some education. And you know, we're not attorneys. We're studies of the law. But I would say that injunctions are futile. I'm not a believer in injunctions. I know, and I'm going to say this to you, and hopefully you don't get offended. I know everybody is trying to save their homes, and these things may cause more stress than you believe. But injunctions, to me, if you're playing that mortgagee-mortgagor game, and you're begging the court to stop them from doing what they're doing, depending on whether it sounds like you're in a non-judicial state, then you need to start sending out notices and taking actions first. That means you have to be proactive, meaning you have to sue them. Many times if you sue these debt collectors and you saying and doing the right things, they won't proceed with any type of debt collection of that particular property if you do it right. Injunctions are most of the time denied because they're not done properly. The proper things are not said, and I wouldn't depend on that. And plus, it sounds like you don't have enough time because a lot of times these courts are backed up. You know, these foreclosures, you know, there's a lot going on. But you're in a non-judicial state, so they're not backed up. You need to file an action against them, and you need to file an action that's going to deter them from taking your property. And that's a difficult thing to do when you're up against that 11th hour. And you got a foreclosure coming. Why don't you do this, debtshow@yahoo.com. Why don't you email me? Let's look over your documentation. Let's see if there's anything you can do final hour, and then we'll see what, if we can help you there.
I do appreciate that very much.
Not a problem, sir. Thank you.
I had understood, I mean, I came in to this particular call late because I wasn't aware that it was happening right now. Anyway,
sure.
We're speaking to the issue apparently of no signature. Indeed, this letter from Harmon Law Offices has no signature on it from the law offices. Does that hold any weight at all? This
yeah, it's not going to stop a collection action. It's something that they can correct and just send you out another notice and sign, you know, on certain documents that is required pursuant to maybe your contract or your deed or your security deed or your credit card agreement. You know, certain things must be signed. Certain documents that are filed in the county must be signed. Just a notice from an attorney doesn't necessarily have to be signed. So that you're not going to browbeat them on technicalities. You have to beat them with substance, okay?
Right, okay.
All right, so just email me, sir. We'll see what we can do for you in your final hour, but I appreciate you listening.
I appreciate all that you're doing to help enlighten a lot of people on essentially how criminal these criminals are. They are criminals.
Yes, sir. And let me just say this. I appreciate you being here, but, you know, they're not really criminals. I know that what they do is wrong, but again, the people that are in this ministry don't have the same outcome as those that think that they might be victims or they're criminal. They're not criminals. They're doing commerce. This is a civil war. And only the strong and the educated is going to survive. They will stop doing what they're doing without you filing a criminal complaint. And you're not going to convince anybody that they're criminal by sending you documents. And in the documents, they're spelling out not only what they're doing, but the wrongdoing. And when you know that and you know how to recognize it, then your outcome will be different. But I appreciate you. Love you. God bless. All right, let's go to right quick. I already went there. Let's go to 216-7425. 216-7425. You're on HOR Radio. Do you have a question? 216-7425. All right. All right. Let's go. Let me get down to my queens here. Let me take this one last 469-6123. So you're radio down in the background. Do you have a question?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I got some feedback. Turn your radio down.
Oh, okay. How about now?
I'm now. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Hey, I told you I was going to call you back. I'm the guy that was going to court for the truck. I told you I'll call you back and give you the outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went today, and what they did, they put us in mediation. Because what happened was they was trying to get me away from the contract and what the contract stated, and the guy
indeed.
Even admitted in court that he sold the contract and breached it, and it was another lawyer in there told him, hey man, you can't say that, you know, and even the judge tried to help him, and what happened was because I would not go outside of my house, which was the contract that which was written. The judge couldn't do nothing to say, hey, man, y'all going to have to settle this, you know, because I wasn't going outside of the contract.
Wow.
So.
Now, you
so
were the gentleman
man,
that said that you start asking, they had one of those robo testifiers come in there and say, yeah, you know, I'm familiar with the contract, and you hit him. Tell the people what you hit him with again.
Well, I don't think I'm a different guy. I've had the truck that they – repossessed, they sold my contract and tried to give it to someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. And they had the guy come in. Even the guy that they sold the contract to, I did a subpoena, deuce a tecum, and the guy came in with some type of handwritten information saying, well, what you asked for was too vague. So the judge asked me, he said, well, you know, the information that you asked for, that could be 150 pages. I said, so what? I'll read 150 pages.
That's right.
You know,
give it to
me. Yeah, I need that information for my case. So they was trying to do everything that they could, you know, to sort of get me to surrender. but I wasn't going to do that, you know. And it wasn't because I was being arrogant or anything. It was because I know I did everything in my power to straighten this issue out.
That's right.
So
that's great,
so
brother. That's
then,
great. That's great. Stay up on them. Now, listen, always stay honorable. You did benefit from some contractual agreement, some consumer transaction. Don't try to beat them all the way up. Be honorable. Be like, look, I still have the conveyance. Y'all want to work it out? I got $10,000 in violations. You saying that I owe $13,000. I'm going to give you $3,000 and we'll cut it even. How about that? Or I'm going to give you $5,000. You understand what I'm saying? Negotiate in good faith. Be honorable.
Right.
Don't try to say I'm not giving y'all jack bone. You understand? Be honorable and understand that you do have to be responsible for your debts, but you do have the right to execute and demonstrate law that governs that contract. So if you violate, you can't sue me for a breach, and you breached. You understand?
Right. Right.
All right. Good job,
so
brother.
As we
keep
go
it up.
Along, my brother, I'll keep you in touch, bro. And
keep me in touch, man. That's a great job. Yes, sir. That's great. That's great, 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 great job. That's what. That's how it works. H-O-R. We demonstrating. We're educating. Uplifting the people. All right, let me go. We got 10 minutes left. Let me get to my staff, my ministry, my team, and let me see what they got to say. Layla, your line is open, but let me open up before the queen put her foot on my neck. Queen, Unique, your line is open. Peace and blessings.
Greetings, 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 kinfolk, like mother said.
Kinfolk.
what's
up, Queen?
Nothing much, nothing much. Working and working and working. Trying to stay in my lane, but trying to learn others. Trying to take my responsibility. So that when we get to the house of restoration, y'all know what y'all restore. And that's what today has all been about, and that's what every single show is about. House of Restoration High Frequency is about restoration. It's about taking your responsibility.
Right.
Just like Brother Sharif just said, this is what this is about. It's about taking our responsibilities and knowing your responsibilities. Once you can, if you... How do I say this? If you know your responsibility, you ready. When you accept your responsibility, you reset. You reset. When you handle your responsibility, then you restore. So ready, reset, restore. And all
love
of
it.
It
ready,
has
reset,
everything to
restore.
Do.
Woo.
Ready, reset, restore. If you can get ready. If you can know it, then you can accept it, then you can handle it. Take your responsibilities, and I mean this in every single piece of your life, not just with your debt, with your body and with your spirituality, with your mind. Like the like the priest was saying, like the priest said, listen to the words that come out of our mouth. Listen with your ears, and then when your heart says, yes, I think that's right, have your brain analyze it then after that. You don't see us. You hear us. You hear the sound. You hear the vibrations that come from us.
Right.
Your heart knows what's going on. Your mind don't like what's going on. Your heart, your body, and your mind are all connected, your spirituality, and you wonder why y'all getting these blocks, and you wonder why. Then after you go through all this madness with these gurus, and I mean gurus from every sort of point. I don't care if the guru is Weight Watchers. I don't care if the guru is, I don't care, Nutrisystem. I don't care if it's some guru from the financial realm. I don't care what guru it is. Y'all know they telling y'all half-truths. Y'all know y'all telling y'all half-truths, but then y'all get on here and you want to question people, and that's not right. I understand, though. I understand why they question. They question because they've been through so much, and now they don't know what they're hearing because they watch TV and their consumption is all messed up. You're not taking your responsibility even for the things that you consume. And when I say consume, those who have listened to me before know what I'm talking about. If you do not take your responsibility for your consumption of whatever acceptance that you are listening to from these dumb gurus, from whatever half-truth you know you're listening to from these pastors. I don't care what realm you are talking about. If y'all don't wake up and take your responsibility, you will not be ready, you will not be able to reset, and you will not be able to restore. If you want to get there, get there. Take it. Stand up and take it. Be ready. Put your armor on and get ready. That's what we're talking about. That's what we always talk about. With your debt, with your body, everything. Everything that you consume, and it's time to take your responsibility because they are poisoning us. On purpose.
Right.
They are causing these stressors on our bodies and on our minds with all these distractions on purpose. They want to detour us from the I am, from your temple, and they are being successful. If you don't understand that, you need to do all kinds of research. If you don't understand that on one realm, it should be a domino effect. If you understand that I am saying that they are poisoning you with your food, you should be able to roll that over, knock down that next domino, and see, oh, my goodness, they are not just poisoning us with our food. They are poisoning us with our stressors from this debt. They are poisoning us with this half-truth of this religion. It should be a domino effect. Listen to the words that are said here. And then when you listen, go out and use your brain and do your research. Because then at that time you can get ready. Because then at that time you are accepting. And then at that time you will restore.
Indeed.
Come on, y'all.
Indeed. Priest Clean, thank
better,
you.
Thank family.
You. Powerful, powerful. All right, we got a couple of minutes left. Before I bring Sister Layla in, close out, I'm going to say right quick, y'all understand this ministry provides services, all right? Credit repair, the legal way to repair your credit, less than 30 days. You're out there being an educated, informed consumer again with knowledge, with information for you to be able to demonstrate in commerce. That service is available through HOR. People out there, lady called me the other day. She out there got a new car. She's back commercially powerful again. All right? Many of y'all are under stress because you think after you lose this house, that's it. You can't get anything else. No, we can clean you up. Just like we're clearing your mind, your body, your mind, and your spirit, we can clear up your credit legally to put you back as a powerful consumer. All right? Consultations with the priest, consultations with myself are available. Consultations with Sister Unique is available. Okay? All right? The webinars are out. I'll be doing another webinar in another week or two. There are 8 webinars available. All right? On every topic being discussed on this show. Okay? We will also provide a service of auditing. And that auditing from the meaning, plain and ordinary meaning used in the securitization field, auditing, we'll look at your case. We'll look at where you are. We'll look at what you're doing. We'll look over your guru paperwork to make sure that is correct. Okay? Again, we're not attorneys, but we do have some knowledge. All right? So I want to say thanks, peace, and everybody. Layla, you can go on and take us home by giving your parting
awesome
words. You have about a minute.
All right. Well, we just heard great information from a lot of people. And when we talk about the priest, and he talked about us being on the straight and narrow path, we just heard from the brother who said that he stayed in his house in the contract that he was in court. That's the straight and narrow path. We've been given 2 ears to listen and 1 mouth to speak. I will also say that we've been given 2 eyes to read. So we need to be reading and we need to be listening, and there is silence when guided, when we're guided.